This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Let him sit beside you.
This is KPFT Houston. Coming up next, After Hours.
To breathe. this way.
Contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the Saturday, March 3rd edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, KPFT Houston. My name is Chris Harris, and I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be the other one.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Can you queer me now?
Oh. I can queer you now.
All right. Having technical difficulties.
Yes. Well, you know, this is community radio, and sometimes things don't work. You know, you come in here, and it's kind of like, oh, well, there's no chairs this week. Okay. Oh, well, the headphones don't work this week. Oh, well, there's only one set. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
That's the way it is. How you doing?
I'm just getting over a cold.
Me too. You know, I thought I was over my cold, and then Louie came, and
it's the bird flu. It's the Louie bird flu. Too much rooster licking.
I see.
Yeah.
That must be it. Who knew that?
And where did the bird fly to?
Who knew there were so many there were germs on all of those roosters?
Yeah.
I did.
I have to say, the weirdest thing I saw at Louis was Jimmy pretending to be chef. Could they have found a scrawnier white guy to try and play the black guy, the fat black guy from South Park?
Well, you know, it was supposed to be somebody else, but at the last minute, the somebody else couldn't make it, so I kind of got stuck with that. Yes. But in a way, that was kind of even funnier.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody knew that was Chef from South Park, and then here I am. You know, all skinny and everything, with my big black balls.
Your big chocolate balls.
Yes.
Well.
As he was mixing them up on stage.
Yes, yes. The whole skit was about balls this year. Well, we've done breasts and penises and ass, and this year it was balls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then next year?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I'm afraid.
You should be afraid.
Yes.
The scrotum.
Nah, it's too close to balls.
If they go with clitoris, I'm not going to be in that number. I'm sorry.
It'll be Dolores clitoris. Can't even say that.
You mean like clitoris Leachman?
See, neither one of us can roll our tongue around the word.
Neither
one of us can roll our tongue around clitoris.
No, can't do it. Can't do it.
Gonna do it.
You can say it's a small penis all you want. Nope. It ain't happening.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier today.
Yes, I know.
I was teasing Clarity. I said, yeah, it kind of reminds me of when I saw the picture of China Doll from her porno with her 3-inch clitoris.
Ooh. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Was that real?
Yeah, it is real.
That is scary.
It is. But, you know, it's because people think she's actually a man.
I have seen smaller dicks than that.
Yeah. But, you know. All right. Is your headphone not working yet? Oh, you're taking it with you. He's going into the next room. Because we've talked about a certain person and his advertising.
But speaking of...
And he doesn't believe that we talk about it.
Speaking of the opposite of clitoris...
God, he's gotten shy.
We have a gentleman here in the studio who is quite known for...
What?
The size of his member, as a matter of fact. Oh, my, yes.
And we've teased about the fact, you know, we were looking at Craigslist.
I know. We have talked... Oh.
Hey, I brought my camera with me. I'll get it ready.
We've talked about Opie a lot on this show. You know, we talked about his 22nd birthday and advertised that. And I mean, he's, you know, this little country boy with red hair.
Very red hair.
Yeah. And he came on to strip for us tonight. Is this my birthday present?
I don't know. Everything's for your birthday.
Ooh. Your birthday was the same month.
Yeah, not that anybody noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
Yes, you are. Now, you're known far and wide at EJ's, but where are you these days?
I work full-time at Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturday nights, of course, I'm taking this night off to be with y'all. At Tony's.
Tony's Corner Pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of like becoming the in place for a lot of reasons, because I have male dancers,
mm-hmm.
and they also, Tony is just very generous with his time for community fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, drag shows over there all the time.
There's actually one tonight.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
See?
It actually started around, like, let's say 9-ish
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
drag time.
Yeah. Yeah, I know how that goes. And that's the problem, because drag time usually starts 9:30, 10 o'clock, then it runs into the dancing boys come on at 11,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all the guys come in at about 10:30, quarter to 11 to watch the dancing boys, and their drag queens up there, and they're like, grumble, 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 get these drag queens out of here, I want to see flesh.
That's what a lot of them
yeah.
do.
You know our intrepid photographer mm-hmm. over here, Mr. Paul?
Yes, I do.
double flash.
I think he thought we would never get you on the show.
All right. Silence works well over in the
air. Yeah. So you work over at Hollywood?
Yes. I actually got off at 10 tonight.
The bookstore, or?
Actually, I work at the Supercenter and the cafe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They switch my schedule either way.
Mm-hmm.
He's versatile.
I am. Truly.
I've heard
That's what the ad says.
I've heard that about you. And I've seen your pictures.
Now, those are flaming.
They're very red, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm a natural redhead. Maybe you should see my brother.
Oh, you'll do. You'll do fine. Just fine. Yeah, you notice Chris has some music playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Where's it come from?
Now, are you working at Tony's or are you dancing at Tony's?
I'm dancing.
Oh, good. So you haven't retired from the business yet?
No.
And good?
2 years and counting.
Good, good. So folks can go see you at Tony's on...
It's 817 West Dallas.
Yes. And you said you were working there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
Yes, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights.
Wow, and you gave up a Saturday night to be here?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really
I actually
honored.
Went to South Beach first to party a little bit and then got here.
Okay. I understand this. Because Saturday night must be, you know, that's like a lucrative night.
It's very busy.
Yeah.
I guess payday is coming on Friday, and I guess people want to spend their check on Friday and Saturday night.
He always chokes on the big ones.
Oh, yes, and I do have a big one.
Do you?
Oh, yes. Well, that's what my boyfriend said.
Yeah. And is your boyfriend here tonight?
No. He's at work right now.
Lucky us. And who are your friends?
Adrian is my best friend in mm-hmm. the whole wide world. And Luke, and I just met, and he's so hot.
He keeps dying in there. I don't know.
You know how fires are.
Yeah, you know, like I said. You know.
He just can't breathe and inhale my smoke.
So what made you start dancing?
Well, actually, I started at EJ's. I used to work there for like 9 months. Unfortunately, it's pregnancy time, but... I started there in December of 05. And then I started stripping probably, say, February-ish of last year. And then ever since then. But I did do some before then, but it's only a little.
It's only a little? Mm-hmm. That's not what I hear tell.
A little before at EJ's.
A little before at EJ's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Are you okay now?
Yeah. I got rid of my cold right before Louis. Then I went to Louis.
Back with a vengeance.
Yes. I guess those cold germs can just be anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Good thing I have a very good immune system.
Actually, I do, too.
Unless you just hit me in the right spot.
And what spot? Show me that spot.
Well... I'm unbuttoning.
Yes, we're unbuttoning here. Oh, you are a redhead.
And uncut.
And uncut, yes. My goodness. And nice set of low hangers there, too.
You find this shocking?
Woo!
This is rather kind. This is rather kind compared to what's been going on inside this room.
Like my little brother.
Okay, okay, Jimmy, take some deep breaths.
Yes.
Well, at least you don't have to pay, because normally on Tonight, people have to pay.
Oh, I know. And I have. But I've never been there when you were there.
Well, next time.
Next time. Next time it's on me. Okay.
You wish.
So how was your 22nd birthday?
Actually, I had two parties. One at EJ's, thanks to Iris's. And...
yeah.
I also had one on at Tony's, which that didn't go well because a Colt 45 had theirs at BRB the same night.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I only had like a crowd of six people. And a
what?
And unfortunately, it was Tony Corner Pocket's regulars.
Wow.
They're on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
So, and I...
oh, I'm so sorry.
But at least I raised money for Legacy.
There you go.
That's the best part.
Tell me about the Arisa's party. Those are a bunch of fun folks.
Well, I really didn't go to the crown, the crowning part, because I had to work.
Okay.
But I did get mentioned there. And unfortunately, to the people who I voted for, thanks to the luck of the Irish, they got it. Chris Beck and Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, yes. In fact, they're going to have a regular spot here on After Hours.
Really?
Talk about Arisa's and all their fundraisers. Because this is a community show. We're almost as old as you are.
Literally.
We turned 19 in September of last year.
Yeah.
And I've been here for all but 6 months of that.
Really?
Yes.
18 and a half?
Yeah, so this month marks my 19th year with the show.
So this show is barely legal.
Barely legal. Barely legal. We're waiting for 21. Then watch out. Now, we've always been on in the middle of the night. That way we can do stuff like we just did.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, if anybody wants come to Tony's.
Come to Tony's. And on Friday nights, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Showtime starts at 11.
Uh-huh.
Unless
there's a show at Tony's on Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, Tony just pays for three dancers right now until he gets more people in there.
Oh, okay.
But he's also thinking about it, and I'm supposed to mention it, but thinking about doing it on Monday, too.
Oh, really?
And EJ's has theirs on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Right.
So it's competing two of the three nights.
Yeah, it is. It is. Oops. We'll see. We'll see. But I'm sure Tony is really proud that he was able to steal the star away from EJ's.
Oh, yeah. I even quit.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I quit because some drama.
Oh.
And I don't want to mention it.
No, of course not.
Somebody's initials is CD.
Oh. 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 Yeah. Yes. Boy, I just lost my train of thought there.
Well, have you been to EJ's lately?
Okay. Yes. In fact, because one of the nights for Louie was that the opening night for Louie is always
the registration.
The DJs. Yeah, registration.
Mm-hmm. I was there last year.
Yeah. And I have to give props to EJs, too, because they allow folks like Reese's and ICOH to come in there and do benefit shows, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. It's damn cold.
Don't worry, it's cold outside, too. But if you want to see a man in uniform, come to Hollywood.
Okay.
And if you want to see a man out of uniform, come to Tony's.
That's perfect. I'm sorry.
Need something to drink?
Boy.
Well, let's...
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm losing it again. So, thank you. Thank you. Something to drink. Something to drink.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's carbonation. You need cream.
You're telling me? So we can see much more of you.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Tony's, 817 West Dallas. Tony's mm-hmm. Corner Pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Opie, thank you for being with us tonight on After Hours.
Thank you.
And maybe you can... Well, it's a little late.
And thank you for all of our listeners.
You bet.
To listening to 90.1.
Thank
KPFT.
You. You're good. Chris, take it away.
Okay, let's get a little music, change of music, and let's get the Hatchers in.
Okay.
In here. Let's figure out which of these here I'm going to go to. We'll go a little Kevin Cahoon. I'm not sure which one yet, but let's just try this. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
The people.
right, that was Kevin Cahoon with Mirrorball Prophecy. Wasn't sure which one of the CDs I was looking at there, telling me what time was up. But it is time now for Hatch. You're on.
Hey, guys. What's going on? We're the Hatch segment of KPFT After Hours.
Queer Radio with Attitude.
Nice. So we have a couple of things that we wanted to announce. First of all, if you don't know what Hatch is, it's a youth group for the ages between 13 and 21. It takes place in Houston. And it's kind of like a youth group. We, you know, hang out, get to know each other, and, you know, learn different things that are relevant to the gay community that help us in life. So if you'd like to be part of that, you can be screened or come with a friend. If you're wanting to be screened, then you can call the number for Hatch. It's 713-529-3590. And otherwise, if you just need to talk to someone, you can call them, or you can call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of Houston, which is 713-529-3211. Other than that, the Hatch website, if you're interested, is www.hatchyouth.org. Also, there's a MySpace page and a Yahoo group, all those things available to you if you'd like to be a part of it. Other things that we want to talk about that are going on at Hatch right now, not technically part of Hatch, but the PFLAG meeting is tomorrow at St. Paul's Methodist Church, in the Museum District at 2 p.m. If you're interested, they welcome everyone, so if you'd like to go. That's when that is. Otherwise, things that are going on at Hatch is they have a board game night planned for tomorrow. The next couple weekends are just fun, easy things. And then March 18th, they're having a doc night, which is documentaries or independent films that are made. They like to view them and talk about them. And then there's other interesting little things that they do throughout the month. There's some educational and some just, you know, to hang out. The very end of the very first of next month, April 1st, is going to be Picture Time, which is if you've been a part of Hatch in the past, you haven't been there in a while and you would like to go, and you've taken pictures there, which most of you probably have, there'll be scrapbooking. So that's, if you've been there before, that might be something you're interested in. Other than that, to anyone who was thinking about applying for the PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship, the deadline was March 1st. So hopefully y'all got y'all's in.
Bill talked with the people at PFLAG, and they're probably going to be extending that.
Okay, well, let's not announce that until it's for sure. I would guess keep on working on your application, we can get it turned in, and then find out. You know, you can call the foundation, you can call Hatch. Again, that number is 713-529-3590, and you can ask them, and they can probably give you a better answer as to if it's been adjusted or not. Other than that, things that are going on in the community, not tomorrow, but the next Saturday, March 11th, is AIDS Walk, and everyone's encouraged to be there and participate and in any way help that you can, because not that it's a gay thing, not that it's a gay disease, but it is an issue that affects our community in a very large way. So people are definitely encouraged to be a part of that, and if you'd like to be a part of that, you can go on your own, you can go with the team, you can go with a friend, just go. And, you know, or you're encouraged to go. Anyway, we're going to start off by introducing ourselves, and why don't we start with you?
I'm Seth.
That sounded creepy, man.
Madison.
I'm just kidding.
Why does that sound creepy?
Oh, by the way, you can say your age, too, if you want.
Okay, I'm Seth. I'm 19.
Madison, 19. Houston.
I'm Brendan. I'm one of the adult facilitators for Hatch.
Which means he doesn't have 80. To say his age.
That's right.
He's 80.
But he's a cutie, so it's okay. I'm Pamela. I am 18.
Amber, 19.
Pam's the baby.
Nice.
Well, she acts more mature than most of us.
Awesome. Anyway, so what we thought about talking about tonight was where we see our lives within the next, you know, couple years up to like 40 years, where we see our positions within the gay community and where we see the gay community as a whole going. And then, you know, whatever else we'd like to throw in there. But those are the main three topics for tonight. So what's going on, guys?
Stuff.
Okay, so what kind of stuff, man? Like, what's going on in your life?
Oh, my life is a little topsy-turvy right now.
Why is that?
Upside down and sideways since about Sunday.
It's interesting. For real.
Do you think that's going to impact the future of yourself in about 25, 30 years?
Actually, yes, I do, because I am falling behind in my classes a little bit. I've been thinking about dropping out.
Why?
Because I don't know, it's getting overwhelming. I've been really bored with school anyway. I mean, I've been going nonstop since I graduated high school.
In case Seth is applying for these scholarships. Just kidding. No. Is this because of, like, what happened on Sunday or what was going on with you Sunday? Or does that have any relevance?
Well, that's some relevance. I mean, it's made it so much more difficult for me to pay attention and keep up.
Okay. So it's been more evident recently then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost done with my massage therapy internship, so pretty soon I'll get my license.
Woohoo. That's good, because you always talk about that. You're interested in it, so.
Yeah.
Just means when you're 40, everybody out there, we can just find Seth and get a back massage.
Oh.
Yeah, but he'll charge, so it's not going to be as good.
Well, yeah, time is money.
Nice. But if you say you're a hatchling, he may cut off a little bit.
I doubt.
Then you get like a 90-year-old guy saying, I graduated from hats 10 years ago. Where's my 10% off?
Nice. So how do you think this is going to affect your life in the next couple of years?
Well, it's going to throw my schedule off by the semester. Like, I had it. Like, my associate's degree is going to take a little bit longer to attain now.
Okay.
But it will give me more time to work on my GPA so I can get into U of H to work on my bachelor's.
Where are you going right now?
San Jacinto. The central campus.
So you think that time off will help you, like, just get back into the feel of wanting to go to school?
Yeah.
It totally will.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think a lot of us actually in this room are going through that same thing right now, whether it's because of medical reasons or whether it's because of choice.
Or financial.
You know, I think a lot of us are going through that right now. So that kind of sucks. But if you think that'll work for you, then I would mean not to discourage you from going to school, but to encourage you to better yourself and hopefully pursue school in a more effective way. Because if you go to school and you're not ready to, or you don't care, you're not going to do well, and that's just going to bring down your GPA. So, not like I said, not to discourage you from going to school, or anyone else for that matter, but just to encourage you to be ready when you do go.
What about dropping your course load? Will that help?
No.
It helped me.
Yeah, because that's what I'm doing.
I've already tried that, because, I mean, my first semester, I took a full load, the maximum hours I could take. Then, semester after that, I lowered my load by one class. And the summer, I only took four classes, and it was too many semesters in the summer. So, there was two classes for a month, and then two classes the next month. So, I think I just need a break from classes.
Do you think that summer is a big enough break, or you think no?
Well, I was just gonna drop out now.
When's the drop date?
Drop date? I think it's in April.
Okay. Someone else needed to know this, too.
but do you see it as being beneficial?
Yeah. I mean, if I drop now, I won't have to worry about failing my classes, which might happen if I don't.
Well, how many hours are you taking? Because you said you dropped a class, but how many hours does that mean you're actually taking? Because if you're taking the maximum amount of hours that you could take, that could be up to 24?
No, at San Jac, maximum is, what, 18?
It's 18 unless you have written consent to take more than that.
So,
but I'm taking 16 hours.
So why don't you go to, like, 12, which is a normal full-time student? That's the minimum for a full-time student, which means if you apply for a scholarship or you have a scholarship or any grant money, then you can still get that.
I don't have grant money, I don't have financial aid, I don't have scholarship.
But you could.
But you could.
Yeah, but I need to just drop my classes for this semester.
Okay. Well, I mean, if that's how you feel,
because
then you do it.
I'm starting to fail them, and I'd rather, you know, get W's than F's, because once your GPA goes down, it's hard as heck to bring it back up.
Oh, no, I know.
It's quick to drop it, long to bring it back up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, what about you? Where do you see your life going, or what choices are you making now that would change your future?
Well, since I haven't been doing anything in the past couple of months, but I have taken this time to actually think about what I want to do in the future, and I decided to change my majors for when I go back to school in the fall.
Major?
Major.
Okay.
From child psychology, which is what I wanted to do originally, to education, which is what I thought about doing when I was in high school.
Okay.
So, I see myself doing that.
What do you want to do in education?
Be a first grade teacher.
She's good for it. She's really good with kids. If I ever have a kid, she's raising it. That's what we decided a long time ago.
We decided. Did y'all hear that? We decided. She decided.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, like, where do you see your life being in 40 years?
40 years? Oh, way too far in the future. Hopefully, a teacher.
Okay, so try 10.
Get down, kids. Get
10.
Down.
10 years. Let's see.
You're going to be one of those teachers with a yardstick whack.
Well,
no, she doesn't hit that much.
You hit the desk.
I don't hit the kids. That's just wrong. But no, 10 just years, parents. I want to at least have one kid by then, maybe, and be a stay-at-home mom until my kid's old enough to at least go into preschool.
Okay. But you're going to get your associate's degree before you have this child.
I'm going to college. Yes, I'm going to college. I'm getting my diplomas or whatever, my degrees, before I start a family.
So, okay, so you made promises to certain people that you wouldn't have a kid before you get an associate's degree. Do you think that's a good choice?
The associate's degree's the first one. Yes, that's a great choice.
Okay.
Because that'll be within a year and a half, hopefully.
I mean, I agree, since I'm the person you promised.
Yeah. But I also have another promise after that. Do I not?
Yeah, you do. You're right.
See?
What promise is that?
To get my bachelor's.
Oh. And then have another kid?
Not have another kid.
Have a kid.
I want to actually get out of school completely before I actually have a kid.
She can start thinking about it again after the associate's degree.
I was going to say, the way it sounded was you were going to have a kid after your associate's and then have a kid after your
bachelor's. We've modified the promise.
Well, yeah, we modified this promise a couple of times because a year ago, I really wanted a kid really bad because stuff happened. And one of the kids that I was watching almost every day was given up for adoption. So I was really emotionally attached to that kid. And the fact that he was given up really hurt me. And so I wanted to fill that void with my own. And then I was like, no, never mind.
It's not a good reason to have a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've always wanted a kid. Like, right.
I've always wanted a kid. See, I also have a lot of baby's mamas. So I have other kids to fill that void without me ever having to do anything.
Sure.
It's okay.
Okay, so how do you think that choice is going to affect your life? I mean, do you think that it's going to help you in the long run to finish your, you know, school and start your career before you have a kid, or?
Oh, yeah.
Just for our audience, how do you I know how people feel about labels sometimes, but how do you define yourself?
As a lesbian.
Lesbian, okay.
Or just gay woman.
Okay. Well, that brings up a whole host of questions and possibilities.
I know. And
what does a young lesbian who wants to have a kid, have you thought about how you're going to approach it?
Surrogate mother. I honestly, I've thought about a couple of different ways, but at the same time, I'm like, I still have time.
No, yeah, you have plenty of forever.
Right? Yeah.
AI. Or is it AE? Isn't it E?
What?
Insemination. Artificial insemination.
So that would be AI.
Okay, I thought it was an
AI. Artificial intelligence. AI.
Right. Either way. Same thing.
I.
But, okay, so Maddie, what about you? Where do you see your life?
At home asleep.
Or what are the choices now that you're making to affect your life later?
Well, let's see. First, I've got to make sure I get my employment back, get back into school. Even though school is very high, it should be my highest priority. It's not, but it should be. Everything, I got one priority a little bit higher than that.
Making money.
No. Surgery.
Okay. You gotta make money to get that, too.
Yeah, but still. That's the highest thing, but I realize school's close to that.
For our audience, what kind of surgery are you talking about?
Oh, facial surgery. I want to get liposuction in my cheeks.
And why is this?
Nah, I'm just joking.
Well, Maddie, nobody that we're talking to knows you.
No, I know. I was starting with a joke. Sexual reassignment surgery, or for, the way I prefer to say it, gender affirmation surgery, because I already know what gender I am. Why reassign it? Just affirm it.
Or gender correction surgery.
But why are they correcting it? I know
sexual
what gender
they corrects.
No, because
that's why it's sexual affirmation or gender affirmation. I know.
But if it's correction, because nature fight.
Not gender.
Are you saying it was a mistake?
Not gender correction. Sexual correction.
I don't consider it a mistake, though. Because I was going this way for a reason.
Because
so
sex
I'm just
is about
how I feel.
The parts, not the brain. Gender is about the brain.
So then, wouldn't it just be genital?
Genital correction.
Not sexual, because sexual really isn't. Technically about that.
Damn, this comes from the people that know more than I do.
But,
damn.
But
that's a big decision.
Yeah.
I got 19 years on most people to think about it. Or 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are 19 now. You will be 20.
I'll be 20
weeks.
In less than a month.
Well, that's
so
good.
I might as well. I won't be 20 for 5 months.
So, but how do you... How do you see that affecting your decisions later in life? Like, do you...
Well, the book I'm writing is mainly about a trans individual, and when it's famous and I'm rich from it... Hey, I promise you it will be a bestseller. It may not be a number one bestseller, but among the GLBT community...
And I still want you to tell me about my character.
She's not going to.
Thank you.
Just tell me about y'all's characters.
You want to kill my book? Because I'm going to take you out real quick.
Bang.
But, no. I just think that's going to be what sets it up, and it brings in the light on how I feel and how I think the community is. Because it doesn't just embrace the trans community. It embraces the entire GLBT community. In it.
Okay.
And I think it's a way to contribute back to society. But also, I want to use it as a foundation for when I start my nonprofit, maybe 40, 50 years from now.
Okay.
What nonprofit?
I haven't decided what to call it yet, and I really don't know, but I want to start a GLBT shelter, mostly trans-related, but I do want gays and lesbians to have a shelter, too. It could be the same grounds, more emphasis on the trans, because I know they do have a little harder with hormones and stuff they got to get... But it gives them a place at from 18 to 25 when they get kicked out and teaches them responsibility.
So have you thought about working with the group that's trying to start the shelter right now?
I've thought about it. I just haven't reached that point just yet.
Because what they're doing right now with that is... I totally forgot the group. It's totally
blank.
It's
the people that used to be Cats in Galveston.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what they're doing right now is trying to set up a shelter for the GLBT community and then... get them into foster homes. I don't know if we're talking about the same
group. No, this is 18 to 25.
Okay, well, the
when they get kicked out.
But I'm talking about, I think that would be interesting for you to get involved with. Maybe, Deb, can you get the information? I can get it for you when I go home. But.
Oh, I already know about it.
Okay.
I just haven't hit that bridge just yet.
So do you think that maybe working with people or an organization like that might help you achieve your goal?
Yep, which is why I want to get into it. I just got to get the work kind of situated first so I can have more up here. And then eventually, if everything works, I want to move up here. So that'll even help it out.
Cool.
You know, there's a big need there because not only for the whole GLBT community, but specifically for the transgender community, because a lot of the places that are set up for homeless are accepting of transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
They fall between the cracks, or they're not accepted in traditional homeless or transitional housing.
Right.
Yeah. And it's harder when you think about it. It costs more money for the transgenders to live technically because they still got to worry about their transition no matter how far that goes. So my thing is what I want to deal with it is have where gay and lesbian, trans all live in their areas, but they still pay like a rent. And they pay, and everything. They don't buy food, that's provided, but they still pay like a rent and everything, and they get lenience on if they're late or something, but that gives them the responsibility and stuff, and they got to be working or in school to stay there, and it teaches them responsibility so they can get their jobs and other stuff elsewhere.
Cool. I think it would be beneficial to you if you started looking more into that and then started thinking about learning how to do grant writing.
Oh, I've already planned that. I mean, I'm also planning to contact celebrities because I figure 20 years from now, if I get to go ahead and start that, if I start now 20 years just writing celebrities, by the time 20 years is up, they'll be so annoyed that they'll just give me the money to shut up and I can use that to start it.
Nice. Nice. Or you could be like my sister and plan on winning the lottery.
Nah, awesome. I think I'm more likely to convince celebrities to give me the money after 20 years.
You got to play it.
Talk to Oprah. Yeah,
yeah, Oprah gives people cars. She'll give you money.
Hey, you know, John Travolta made a point about that. He gave her a brand new car just like the one he had because she gave everybody cars. And because she said she loved his car. Well, you know what Tim Allen said? He said he loved John Travolta's jet and his birthday was coming up. So I'm thinking about saying I like his jet too. Maybe I'll get one of those on my front porch.
Uh-uh.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
I can tell you for a fact now.
Why, you know him? Can you introduce me?
For a fact now that he's not giving up his jet for anybody.
No, I know, but that's just the whole joke. I wish you would, but I know. They showed a picture. He parks his jet, like, at his front door.
Yeah, well, what you're missing is he named his son Jet.
Nice. Now,
cricket.
Hold your mind around that one for a moment.
Oh, I know he loves his planes. I know that for...
No. Yeah, I know. He loves his planes, too. But he named his son Jet. What was...
Oh, well, I'm not going to take his... I don't...
Asking for?
I don't want his son. If that's what you're implying. He can keep him. I don't want a kid right now.
Nice. So, Pam, where do you see yourself?
Yeah, Pam.
Hey, I never said where I saw myself in 40 years.
Well,
go for it, Seth.
Have fun.
Well, you're so mean to me. Okay, well, hopefully in 40 years, Maddie will be nicer to me.
I don't see that ever happening.
I'm never going to change against you, Seth. I love you enough the way our love-hate, salt-pepper relationship is.
Just accept it and move on.
Okay, anyway, 40 years, I want to be the gay Dr. Ruth. I want to have, like, because Dr. Ruth is a famous sex therapist. Wow. And I want to be a sex therapist for homosexuals.
Yay. Homosexual men or homosexual women?
Both.
What about trans?
Okay, I could do that too.
What about boys? They're not exactly homosexual.
I will be a sex therapist for everybody in the GLBTXYZ community, okay?
Well, you didn't say, what about Omni?
Okay, everybody in the ABCDEFGHJKLMNOP.
Okay, I think we get the point.
Yeah. Every letter.
What about for straight people?
I don't want to be one for straight people.
But, honey, if you're being it for everybody else, I think they'd kind of probably pick up. I mean,
well, fine. I can be one for everybody. But my specialty will be with gay men.
Okay. Well, see, that's all I have to say.
Also, I want to be a gay trauma counselor. And
hold on. Now, is this gay trauma from having sex?
No.
I mean, what do you want to do?
Well, that's because then he'd be doing all his past boyfriends.
I want to be a counselor for survivors of different types of trauma and I went to work exclusively with gay adolescents and adults because they have, I don't know, I guess different perspectives on things, and, you know, they don't, they need somebody who understands them, not somebody who's going to say, oh, you're gay. Huh. That's not going to help my cause. But, yeah, you know, I'm going to...
Okay.
Let me up in 40 years. We could probably work together. Even when we know each other.
Okay.
And see, hopefully I'll have, you know, a son and a daughter and a living husband by then.
Will there be easy?
And if I can't, and if I can't be married in this country by then I'll move to Canada or to Spain.
And how do you define yourself? Are you, do you define yourself as a gay man?
Yes.
I think that's interesting, especially if there's any straight people in the audience listening to us, that, you know, we as a community, as GLBT community, still often have a need or a desire to have kids. And so that's a whole dynamic of possibilities, challenges. How do you go about being GLBT and having a child?
Well, I already have a friend who agreed to be my surrogate mother.
Ah.
And how much that costs nowadays sometimes?
She said she'd do it for free.
But who's going to pay the medical bills?
I'll pay the medical bills. It's going to be my kid.
Okay.
Cool. Well, like, and I think they're talking about, I think maybe Maddie might be referring to the cost of us inseminating her, yes. Unless you guys are going to do this another way.
Well, yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at that. Just, you know.
Well, you can get a turkey baster at the 99-cent store.
Do what?
You can get a turkey baster at the 99-cent store.
Actually, you know, we agreed that if at the time we did not have enough money for artificial insemination, we could try doing it the old-fashioned way.
I'm curious, is your friend a lesbian or bi?
She's a lesbian.
Is she?
Yes.
Would y'all do like a trade-off where you should do it twice and she gets a kid and you get a kid?
Wow.
I don't mean it.
She doesn't want children.
Well, I didn't mean it.
Well, for now, though. She doesn't want children.
Yeah. But for now, the plan is that...
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, hopefully I'll have, like, a TV show or a talk show or something where I can do... like call-ins and stuff, like what is that, Love Line, something like that.
I'm glad you're ambitious.
Anyone else have hopes or dreams of having a child someday?
Most definitely.
No
most
one
definitely.
Can see us hold our hands.
Yeah, this is
that's
radio.
Why I said
they
most
can't
definitely.
See us hold our hands.
Yes.
Like us.
Everybody in the room raised their hand.
Well, I think with that, I mean, like, Amber's has been long-lived. I know... Mine was not long-lived, but was, like, mine's, like, completely planned. And then, I don't...
I
Maddie,
just want
you mentioned
kids,
something
but
about
it's this. Not... It's not high... If I have kids, I'll be happy, but... And I still want them, but I'm not too... If I don't have them, I'm not going to say I'm going to be upset about it.
And then with you, it's...
Yeah, I've wanted whatever your American girl wants since I was in junior high.
A prom dress and a marriage dress and a kid.
No,
okay.
Loving husband and children, and I want to, like, to steal a line from Steel Magnolias, sit on the front porch with tons of grandchildren all over the place, and me yelling, no, and stop that.
Grandma says.
Nice.
Not grandma, I'll be a puppy. Or a pappy.
Nice.
Or a grandpa. Not grandfather, that's so snobbish.
How about a grandpappy?
Okay, Pam, let's hear yours.
That sounds like a type of flower.
Nice. I actually have a lot of very ambitious goals, and most people know about them. My pink stuff. My ultimate goal is to be a senator.
Vote Pam.
And so that's like the ultimate goal within the next 35. Can you please stop?
I was kidding.
Within the next like 35 years.
I'm sorry.
And then you know, from there, like at one point I had a very involved relationship that was very like, probably going to be the only one for the rest of my life. That kind of was taken away from me this past summer. So the plans that I made for my life have remained the same. Just, sadly, won't be with that person. But I'm still planning on, like, one of our plans was when I was 27, we were going to have a kid. And I'm still doing that. Like, whether I'm with anyone by myself or anything, I'm still having that kid when I'm 27.
Because she knows there's always someone there to help raise it.
Exactly, because Amber's there. And because that's something that I want, and that's something that I think that I can definitely handle and that I want. Like, that's my dream. And that's, for those of you who don't know, I identify as omnisexual. I used to identify as lesbian, but I don't anymore. That's for a number of reasons.
She got a crush on a boy.
Does she want it all?
No, when you say omnisexual, I would say she just likes meats and veggies. No, because, simply because, for me, it's not about gender. For me, it's not about sexuality. For me, it's not about that. It's about that person and about that individual, about their soul, and about who they are as a person, as a whole. It's not about what genitalia they have. It's not about how they feel emotionally as to what gender they are. And that's why I say I'm omnisexual. It's not because I'm going to go screw a plant, okay? That means that I'm the wrong idea.
I'm an omnivore.
You'd be surprised at how many people have asked me that. Are you going to have sex with an animal?
Does that mean you do animals?
But, she would
be a beast. I always say I'm transsexual. So I'll try anything once.
So to clarify, what I mean by omnisexual, and this is by my definition, is in my definition of life, there are four genders: female, male, people who are of both genders, and then people who are of no gender. And then, of course, within the last two categories, there are people who just identify themselves as genderqueer. So that is why. It's nothing like anything kinky or quirky or anything. It's nothing like that. But simply because of that, I can still pursue this dream of having a kid when I'm 27. Now, how that's going to happen, I'm not sure. I just know it's going to happen because that's what I want. Because I, for the longest time, was afraid of being a mom. But everyone who's told me, everyone who's known me since I was like 8, calls me a soccer mom, especially when I drive my mom's minivan. Yeah. So
I think you'd be a great mom.
And most people say that to me because I'm very, very maternal and everyone knows that.
Hey.
But
when you're 27, if you need a sperm donor.
No, honey, sorry.
Hey. You've got brains between us. We'd make a genius.
Okay, but honey, for right now.
I got to stop in one moment and say, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This has been your FCC moment. Now back to Hatch.
Thank you.
Awesome.
But as far as that particular section of my life goes. Now, there's other things, like, for example, I've been a dancer since I was 3. Now, part of my dream that I've especially recently gone back to be a ballerina, and we all know this. I'm definitely a dancer, and I have been since I was 3. And right now, I'm being posed with the question if I have the opportunity in May to go to New York to dance. And if
have you been trained before?
I took dance from when I was 3 until I was 13.
Okay.
And I taught dance for 2 years.
Okay.
So, yes, I've been trained, to say the least. But that's also something that I'm working towards, again, because that is one of my goals in life. I was talking to Annise Parker the other day, and she, I was talking to her about her campaign and her role in the government and everything, and working with her about on different things. And I saw her a couple of weeks after that, and she asked me how everything was going, and I told her about this dance thing, and she's like, you're just all over the place. She goes, but you know what? I'm 100% behind you. Like, you have my support with this. So I was very happy to know that no matter what direction I'm going right now, that there are always going to be those people who are there. And that's why, like, this decision right now, the decisions I'm making right now are going to affect the rest of my life. Because at the very beginning of this year, part of me was not planning to go back to school, but part of that was that I was diagnosed with being very ill, and I can't right now. So in the fall, I'm going back to school because that's what I want to pursue. Now, where I'm going back to school, I'm not positive, but the fact is I'm going back. And so everything is kind of like the stars are definitely aligning for me. And, you know, having taken off school and then following this dream of being a dancer while also working with politicians right now and working in that setting, that's how the decisions I'm making now are going to affect the decisions I'm making later. Because there are people who I know who are like, you know what, when you run for Senate, you already have money from me to help you run. And that's simply because of the motivation that they see from me. Because that's fairly evident if you know anything about me.
Well, what are you doing now to prepare for a future political career?
Well, like, for example, I work with a lot of politicians. And I'm not going to name them now because I'll forget someone. But I've worked with politicians for a while. And I had, when I lived in League City, I had the opportunity to be on the Mock City Council for a day. And I did that. And it was fun. And then I've worked, like I said, with a couple politicians here. And I'm planning to work because a lot of their campaigns are starting again because on the city ballot, a lot of people are having to be reelected this year. And then, you know, as far as that goes there. And then, but aside from that, my political activism isn't only to run for office. It's also for a lot of different causes. For example, the GLBT cause, which I'm very obviously very involved with, whether it be with Hatch, whether it be with the GLBT Chamber of Commerce, whether it be with the Advocate, whether it be with AIDS Foundation Houston, whether it be with any of that. A part of me will always be with the GLBT community. And in that respect, I'm preparing myself very well. And the political views, I'm getting back there. But right now, my goal is the dancing. So I'm taking time away because I've done the politics for so long. I'm taking some time back for myself and saying, you know what, let me take this time. Let me get back to you. And that's what I'm going through right now. But that's why you can see, like, my life being mapped out. And I have a timeline. And everyone knows this timeline very well. If you've known me for any period of time, you probably have heard this a billion times. It's a timeline. It's written down. It's on a piece of paper. I mean, come on. It's solid. And that's kind of what it is I've set myself up to achieve these goals. And every single goal that I've set myself up to achieve has pretty much happened in a timely manner. And so that's why this is good for me, you know, just taking time for myself right now to make sure I achieve those goals. But as far as that goes, seeing myself in, 30 years from now, I'm hoping to have established some sort of political office, whether it's at a very local level. And then from there, pursue because I work with a lot of nonprofits, so pursue volunteer work. And then continue going to college in the Institute of Politics, hopefully in D.C. So that's like the ultimate way of getting to where I want to be. And I have a very solid plan of how to get there. So it's kind of mapping out nicely. Awesome. But on a completely different scale, like with my life, with kids, there's wanting to have a kid when I'm 27, wanting, obviously, you know, to have a person in my life who I care very much for and who will care very much for me. And right now, you know, that's a hole. And it will be filled when the time is right, and that's fine. But there are certain things that I do in my life to fill those holes with, you know, whether it be with really good friendships or whether it be with dating or whether it be with, you know, whatever. So working, like the decisions I'm making now, I can see, at least in my life, are definitely impacting the decisions that will happen later in my life. And like Amber knows me very, very well. And she she sees a lot of this happen in my life. And so, yeah.
Well, as far as the child you want to have is, how important is it that they be your biological child as opposed to adoption? For all of you, you all said you wanted kids.
I want
Have
at
you
least,
all thought about that?
I want at least two of my own, and well, then consider adoption after that.
Well, like with me, I know, like I was mentioning, when I made these plans, it was because I was with a partner who I was engaged to. And this person had two kids of their own. And it was important for her and for me to have that kid and for us to raise it together. And that's just what we wanted. And I still want, very much of me still wants that. And so for me, it would be a biological child. But of course, if for some reason that couldn't happen because, you know, of whatever reason, or just for the mere fact of something else that came along, you know, adoption I've definitely thought about, and it's been in my mind. And but I've always had the option. Also, there's a really good friend of mine who's also an ex who, she, one of our really good friends, was going to donate his sperm to us. If not that we were ever that serious, but if we ever decided to have a kid. And that's, you know, and he's like, well, you can still come back to me even if y'all don't, you know, go anywhere with this. So that would, for me, it's biological, most likely.
For me, I want two kids. I want one of them to be my own and one of them to be my partner's. And we also want them to be, you know, blood siblings. So
we also want them to be. Do you know this guy already?
Well, I also want them to be.
See, you've already picked it out, haven't you?
So same, you want to use the same woman?
Yes, yes. And I said,
Using women.
Yeah, I'm just like a man. But yeah, I want them to be blood related.
I think that's good. Maddie, is that important to you at all? Like, if you had a child, how would?
Oh, I was just thinking how bad I felt considering I'm on the opposite of the spectrum. If I don't have kids, which is kind of looking half and half, I don't carry on the bloodline of my family. Added to that, which is topping it off. And I mean, y'all all have technically a chance, and I do partially have a chance of having a kid, but I don't. But honestly, it don't bother me if I carry on my bloodline. In fact, if I had a kid, adoption would be perfectly fine with me. Because you know what? I can probably raise whatever kid I get better than where most kids are being raised with their parents now. I mean, not like, I mean, you got
like an adoption agency. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about kids that are out somewhere where the parents don't take care of them and stuff. And I mean, to me, that's letting the kid die or whatever. So it might as well, if I adopt them, I can probably give them a better life to what they're living.
I agree. That's good. Brendan, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Is there at any point that you ever thought about having kids?
Oh, sure. I think I would be a really good father.
I agree. You're a cutie.
Yeah.
I think I'm
more of a mother.
Being a cutie has nothing to do with being a parent.
Mom and Brendan.
Yeah, I could do either one, I guess. I have a close relationship with all my nieces and nephews. But it's something I've always kind of thought in the back of my mind. Although I really don't see, at this point, where that could happen anytime soon. But yeah, it's interesting that everyone in the room raised their hand that they were interested in having kids. And I think sometimes the straight world doesn't realize that there's still a need and a want to have children, even though you may not be in a typical straight type of relationship where
to make it easy.
Right, yeah. To make it easy. That's right.
Yeah, there's a really, if you've ever seen the movie If These Walls Could Talk To, it's Ellen DeGeneres and, what's her name? Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
One of the parts she's talking about, why is it that, or it's by our love one night we can't just accidentally get pregnant, or something along those lines. I'm not going to quote it perfectly because I can't, but something along those lines. And I felt that way, and I've said that to people before. Well, to one person before, and they said that to me, and that's, you know, by our love, I could never get you pregnant, and that's true. She could never get me pregnant, you know what I mean, with things of a natural way. I mean, there are other ways, sure, but, you know, she could never do that,
that
and that's
sense.
And that's the thing, is like, that's such a battle for people, because they feel guilty for being like, well, you can't get pregnant, we can't have a kid naturally, so why would we do it? And that was like a guilt trip battle for me for the longest time, is that, and on top of not feeling like I would be a good mom. So that's, you know, my own thing. Because have you ever seen parents who get completely wrapped up in their careers, they forget about their kids?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's my fear. And so that's why I have Amber.
That's my mood.
That's why she exists in this world.
Totally.
Your sole purpose on this earth is to take care of Pam's children.
If you didn't know that.
It's going to happen when Pam's kids call Amber mama.
Just like earlier when I said the climate should adjust to my wardrobe.
The world revolves around Pam.
Well, it sounds like you'd make a perfect policy.
Well, that's okay, because the solar system revolves around me.
You wish.
Well, just
in any case,
if you ever do run, look me up because I'd certainly help.
Awesome.
Took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, when you do, I want to be on your campaign, fundraising people.
You'll see me though,
and I will be promoting your things on my show.
Oh, I could see that now. Here, come to me for therapy. Full bail.
Exactly. Well, no, it's actually really funny that Seth mentions the whole therapy and especially sex therapy, because that's part of what I've been a part of for a very long time, and I've definitely, you know, desired that in my life for a very long time. And
Hey, be careful. We don't want to ruin our chance for Senator. Everything this comes out.
We all have this little joke that I'm a sex instructor. I'm a sex therapist. And that's part of what I do is, you know, answer people's questions, teach people things.
I do that
not
too.
By showing or doing, but by telling or showing in other ways, not
I do
myself.
That too, actually.
That's a good thing. Because, like, for example, and excuse me, this is too crude, but, like, for my sister's ex-boyfriend, he didn't know how to do certain things. And so I was like, okay, well, let me tell you. Let me show you. Let me draw you things. Let me get you fake things. I don't know. And so that's kind of where that all started was with him. He was the motivation for me saying this. And people who know me, especially recently people at my job, people a lot of places know me as that person because everyone, including my manager, comes to me about advice. And so that's why Seth and I laugh about these things about being a sex instructor or sex therapist, is because that's in both of our lives, and it has been, I think, for a very long time. So It's pretty interesting. There's a huge realm of things that people can do. It's not just this show is about a bunch. I mean, we're a bunch of gay people, but at the same time, there's so many different things that we all want to do and are doing, and oftentimes that's overlooked. And so I guess this show is partly to say that, you know, that's not what we're all about, and these are things we want in our lives too. And so, you know, for anyone who is listening and for us, that, you know, I think that's good. I think it's good that we're acknowledging that. Seth, stop laughing at me.
I can't help it. It's hard to take you serious with these huge headphones on.
I'm sorry, they're big. But after saying that, going back to where do you see yourself in 40 years, where do you see yourself in the gay community in 40 years? Do you see yourself affecting the gay community in 40 years or even being a part of it or in any way?
I see myself as being a big gay icon.
Of course you do.
Well, you know, because I'm going to be...
You should have heard what Seth said earlier. He's...
Or how about not?
Or...
Anyway, I hope I'm a big gay icon, you know, because, you know, I want to have my own television show.
Judy
and
Garland.
I want to be a sex therapist who specializes in gay males.
It was hilarious. Earlier, we were all hanging out, and he goes... But what did you say? I'm in the gay community.
You keep dreaming big like that.
No, he said
I make the gay community
the
look good.
Yeah, I always said I make the community look good. Oh my goodness!
You asked what I did for the community,
and he said I make it look better.
I make the gay community look better. And she said that's really shallow, and I'm like, no, it's not.
And so then we had to go through the next. It was funnier though when you didn't explain it, Seth.
Sounded shallow to me.
But, okay, but so, for real, where do you see yourself in the gay community? Okay, not you, because you've already answered.
I'm not finished, but you, like, interrupted me. So.
Okay, well, we're on.
Okay, so where do you see yourself?
Who invited you in here?
Don't be mean to my love.
Leave Yasmin alone.
Okay.
Now, that's somebody else entirely.
Y'all have derailed my train of thought. Oh, yes, I want to be like a big advocate for gay people.
And how are you going to accomplish that goal?
Well, I'll be involved with your politics.
You will be or you are. There's a difference.
Well, I'm trying the best I can to get involved as I can at the moment. I've been speaking with... quite a few major political activists. This one woman, I can't remember her name right now. she is the head of the independent film group at UHCL.
Okay.
And she is a big political activist. And, you know, I've had discussions with her of how I could get involved in such.
Okay. So what do you, like, what kind of organizations are you planning on being part of? Any specific, like HRC, like something like that? Or is it something more local? What are you thinking? Like, or do you have any clue?
Well, I don't really have a clue right now. I'm going to start out local.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to work my way up.
What about you, Maddie?
Well, I mean, if I ever want to do my nonprofit, I will definitely have to be in the gay community, because that's mainly what it's... But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I like about the gay...
About the gay community?
I know, but I was...
Like my sister?
I'm sorry, I just noticed that.
One, your sister's not in the gay community.
Yeah, she is. She's an ally.
I know that, but guys, you didn't... But let me go, please. You had your moment.
Okay, okay.
I don't know. I'll take back anything I ever said about your sister in case she's listening.
Thank you, Jesus.
Except for some... anyway, but, I mean, there's a lot goes on with, like, the human rights campaign. I like what they stand for. But honestly, my whole thing is helping people, and I've learned that. I mean, I drive from Galveston to Woodlands just to drop a piece of paper off that I find out later the girl could have picked up at the meeting that night. But I do that because just it feels better to do it, and I realized that I can do that by being part of the community center. Anything I do will be based on helping GLBT and everything. The people. I mean, I do want to advance rights, like get people marriage or whatever else, but I want to help people on an individual basis instead of on a legal national basis.
So do you think that you'll do more with transgender rights and marriage and things like that, or GL, or like gay and lesbian?
Well, luckily, transgender has a little bit of upside on the marriage thing. That's the one thing they do have a small upside on.
Sometimes.
I said small, that's why I said small, not big.
that's true, that's very true. I've talked to a lot of people about that.
But, there will be more focus, like my nonprofit's going to be more focused on trans, which I believe God made me the way I am for that reason to mainly work. But at the same point, my whole transition started with the gay community. If I wouldn't have found the gay community, I would have found the trans community that I needed.
Right, and I think that's very true for a lot of people, whether it be that they're trans or that they're gay, because I found a trans person before I ever found a gay person, to be honest. So that's,
you need a trade.
I mean, that intertwines, and so now I have a better understanding of transgender people than a lot of gay people do, and that's simply because that's what I learned first. And, you know, when you're just a lesbian and you don't really want to be a guy, but that's all you hear, you know, it opens your eyes. So
it's sad when you get lesbian that are really, really butch and they put pressure on them to be like men, but they're not men. They're just women that like to wear the pants.
Thank you. Okay, baby, Dyke. So what about you, Amber? Do you see yourself being a big part of the community or just being a part of it, not like active in it?
I'll probably just wind up being a part of it, but there's no telling because I don't plan ahead.
I know. You don't.
You earned your flannel.
I agree. Okay. Cool.
She'll be the silent donor. She may have some money from teaching or from something big, and she'll stand back and she'll watch her seeds grow.
And that's one of my fears, is because I want to be a teacher, that if it's found that I'm gay, I could be fired or whatever. Because when I teach, I want my kids my kids to go to the same school that I'm teaching at in elementary. That way I don't have to worry about daycare and all that good stuff, and it gives me more time to spend with my kids.
Everyone knows about my favorite teacher in the world, my 8th grade English teacher. She recently came out to me. It was a huge big deal in my life, but she recently came out to me after knowing her for 8 years, and I'm actually going to get the chance to see her in May, so that's exciting. But she came out at school with her girlfriend, and they just walked. They went out to lunch together, and they ate at school, and then they kissed, and everyone knew. And she hasn't been fired. There have been minor repercussions, but it's nothing big. I mean, she also doesn't have kids, but you know, it's she also lives in Tennessee now. But I don't know if that's, you know, I don't. Would you ever search for a state or city that you thought would be safe just because you would want to be out, or would you just be where you were and hope it would be right?
I'd probably stay where I want to be happy. So I'd probably be where I would want to be because that's where I'm comfortable with, not because of the laws. But, like, my fear is that, you know, if my kids were to be like, I have two mommies or whatever, that could go back on me.
Step-parents, dear. That's all you got to play it off as. I'm just kidding.
But then that would be me hiding who I am.
And that's true. You always be true to yourself, guys. Always.
And your friends.
But you do bring up a point. You've chosen a profession where you are vulnerable, and especially in the younger grades.
Yeah, because
and
I have
a very real... Right now, that's a very real scenario.
Yeah, because I have the employee, the other coworkers and principals and all that good stuff. But I also have the parents to worry about.
Parents of the kids. Parents of kids that are that young really do care. Like,
yeah.
Once you're in high school, whatever, man. But when they're that young, they really do care. Yeah.
But at that time,
I don't see why they should... I guess it's because, you know...
Younger children are easily influenced more is pretty much why.
It does...
And not that you can teach a person to be gay.
It does in no way affect the development
of the
child.
I know that.
Though.
Absolutely, but that's the fear.
But that's the fear. Right. That's why I was saying.
And because they're not educated enough.
That's right.
But fear motivates life a lot of the time. And it's a very real fear, too, because while... Yeah, no, I can never turn a person gay. If they see my lifestyle, they can think, oh, well, that's okay. Because I knew her. And I think a lot of people's fears, like, in the past, and even still now, is that they don't even want it to be accepted. They don't even want it to be okay. So if their kids are, you know, open to that and seeing that, exposed to that, then they're going to think, even if it's just thinking it's okay, then that might encourage them. And that's a very real fear. Because, I mean... One of my family's best friends growing up was this man who his wife left him for another woman. So at that point, from him, I knew that was wrong. That was not okay. But from my mom was like, no, my stepsister's gay. That's fine with me. There was a balance of what can be wrong and it can be right. But there's also that thing about, you know, you got to be true to yourself, and that's... Well, I'm saying it is a big fear, and it is very real, because both of those things influenced me and gave me thoughts in my head. But ultimately, that person's going to choose for themselves. And I think that's the fear, is that they're going to influence them so much that either they will make the choice to or to not be gay. You know what I mean? To at least act upon it. Not to be it, but to pursue it.
And that also can affect you, whether you're not just as a teacher was. I mean, there's a big thing in the news in some city, I forgot where it is, where the city commissioner, I think it is, came out as being transgender, and everybody on the thing just voted, except for like two of them, to kick them off of the council, and most of them said they were embarrassed. And one lady stood up and said, you know what? I wouldn't even be embarrassed that he's on it. I'm embarrassed that I'm on this council that's voting him off.
Exactly. That's how I feel, too, but...
Well, and I'm sure that's how we all feel. Yeah.
But I'm saying that...
But that's not everyone.
Shows that it is changing, but it also shows that at the same time, no matter where you're at, you still got that same... And no matter what group you are, gay, lesbian, bi, trans, and not just being a teacher, it's certain jobs just have that stigma.
Well, and that's actually a big factor for you if you want to enter into politics.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, that's a huge thing for me, and that's why I picked such role models like I do. I mean... Right locally, we have Sue Lovell and we have Anise Parker, and that's just locally. Wow. But then there are also people who are very straight. I mean, there's Ada Edwards. She's very accepting, but she's very straight.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there's no getting around it. I mean, there are people like that who are good role models, whether they're gay or not. They can teach you to be accepting, whether they're gay or not. And that's where that fear is irrelevant. You know what I mean? Because whether you're gay or not, whether Amber's gay or not, doesn't mean she's going to encourage whatever kid she's teaching to be even accepting of being gay people, because there are other people who are straight who can still be accepting. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But there are things like that, and especially in my career, yes, I know, because people always ask me, always say something like, oh, well, they don't agree with this, or they don't like this about me, or they don't do this. And people are like, why do you care? You shouldn't care what people think. Well, the thing is, my entire career that I want is based on what people think about me. So, yeah, of course I care. But it's not about, you know, trivial things like, oh, well, does she look nice? It's about what are her viewpoints. And you know, my thing is what I tell people is I'm true to myself because that's my whole thing in life. That's my philosophy on life. And if I can't be true to myself and the beliefs I have politically, then I'm not meant to be in office. But if someone can say you can't be in office because you're gay and because of beliefs you have, then I'm not meant to be there. I'm meant to be somewhere else.
Well, maybe in a different role. There's a lot more to being politically active than just holding a
right, but office. But for me, what I want is to be a senator.
Right.
And so that, because that's my goal, and because there's a lot of things that I do now and will do before I get to that goal that are very political, and it's going to come up. It's going to be an issue. Whenever I work on people's campaigns and they're like, well, why are you with them? You know, even if I'm working on, not that I did, not that I would, but if I voted or if I was working with George Bush and on his campaign, they'd be like, how can you vote for him because you're gay? How can you work for him because you're gay? That comes up whether you're on the Democratic or conservative or liberal or Republican, whatever standpoint or independent standpoint you're on. Because it shouldn't, but it does. And, like, you know, for me and for Amber, for professions that rely on, you know, even with Seth, you know, people saying, well, you're a gay therapist, you're going to turn my 5-year-old child gay because you're going to teach him that it's okay. Or even a 13-year-old saying it's okay to be gay. I mean, a lot of parents aren't going to agree with that. There are going to be those parents who do, but, I mean, when they say, when they hear a therapist who can take care of gay child, they're going to think, oh, well, they're going to turn straight for me, you know? And that's not what Seth's ambition is. It's not what his dream is, you know what I mean? I hope.
Yeah, and those parents would be the ones I would be charging an extra $20, and most of that hour would be spent with them.
Well, I feel special. I'm not the one that has to worry about that stuff.
Okay. Well, you know, I think we've had a pretty good conversation. It's about time for us to wrap up. So I'm going to give a couple more announcements, and then we're probably going to be gone. Again, for those of you who didn't know or who are just joining us, sadly, again, not tomorrow, but next Sunday, March 11th, is AIDS Walk Houston. The ceremony, I want to say, starts at 10? No, 8?
Yes, 8.
Here we go. Hey, pamphlet. Yes, 8 a.m. is check-in. 9 is the opening ceremonies, and 10 begins the walk. So if you're interested, you can go online at www.aidswalkhouston.org and register, or you can, you got people running around all around this community taking donations if you can just be a part of it that way. Otherwise, you can donate online, too. Aside from that, and simple announcements from Hatch. We announced earlier that the PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship deadline was March 1st. However, it might be extended. If you still want to apply and you weren't able to, you can call Hatch 713-529-3590 and try and get more information on that. Otherwise, you can go to our website, www.hatchyouth.org. Also, in case of an emergency, you can call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of Houston, which is 713-529-3211. And they'll always be more than willing to help you. They're 24-hour service, so anything that you need, they can probably help you with. Aside from that, Hatch Prom is coming up. It's on June. We'll announce that day later.
Second Friday in June.
But for now, that's all the announcements I think we're going to have. Again, the Hatch number is 713-529-3590. And this was Hatch as KPFT.
Bye.
Bye.
See you next month.
Alrighty.
And that's a wrap.
Alrighty. Let's go to a little music while we intersiffle.
Okay.
Or do you just want to go right into those?
Well, yeah, I'd like to go right into these because we've got a second segment.
Oh, okay.
The buys are waiting outside. But we didn't have time to do a lot of stuff here tonight. First of all, I want to really rave about the Theater Suburbia play. We had the Theater Suburbia folks in last week. For their new play called Bull in the China Shop. Mm-hmm. Judy and I went to see it last night, and it was a hoot. We really had that. That's kind of like the best time I've ever had at Theater Suburbia. This is kind of it is a comedy, but it's about a bunch of little old ladies who are really actually, they're all old maids. It takes place in the 1950s, and they're very interested in the 40-year-old police lieutenant who lives across the street. Only he works the homicide. So, in order to get his attention, they have to bump one of them. They have to bump somebody off.
It's like the Golden Girls meet Mary, Murder, She Wrote.
There you go. There you go. It's really, really funny. Theater Suburbia, and, of course, if you call them up for reservations and tell them that you heard it on After Hours, you get two tickets for the price of one. And the tickets are only $10. So, hey, you know, that's the deal. And I really, really think you'll have a great time. A couple other things. Things going on today. Gregory, who is a candidate for Mr. Prime Choice, presents Reach in Your Pocket at George at 617 Fairview, 8 o'clock p.m. Sunday, March the 4th. And ICOH is having two shows in one. Actually, two shows in two. We first have a You Are Who, which is happening at Michael's Outpost at 6:30, and then Who's Who and Country Music over at the BRB at 7:30. So this is kind of a progressive show, starting at one bar and going to another. And of course, the Lip Sync Divas, want to let you know that they perform every second and fourth Sunday of each month. That would be next Sunday at George Country Sports Bar. It's 617 Fairview. And
for those of you who don't know George's, that's the former Bricks, too.
That's right. Now, ICOH has got a thing going every Wednesday in March. It's Have You Got Talent? Well, we'll be the judge of that. The ICOH Space City Empire College of Monarchs presents the Silver Loving Spoon Fest Talent Contest, the benefit for the Earthquake Silver Spoon Scholarship Fund at Mary's Naturally. And there's all kinds of great awards given in silver pieces for the winner of each week. And then the last Wednesday of the month, all of the winners are going to come back and perform again. And the big winner gets to take home a Reed and Barton silver tea service. Cool, huh?
Yeah. I don't know if it's Barton. I'm not into that fancy stuff. Was that supposed to be a well-known silversmith?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Silver plate.
Silver plate. Oh. Yeah.
Well, it's still worth $800.
Yeah.
You know. And, of course, every Sunday is Breakfast at Mary's at 10 a.m. And that's enough for that for this week. Southern Country Houston teaches free country and western dance lessons every Thursday at the BRB from 8 until 10:30. Bringing your own partner is not a requirement. We have lots of dancers who will be happy to dance with you. So on March the 8th, they're going to be featuring line dance and couples West Coast swing. March the 15th, the same thing. March the 28th and March the 30th. So don't forget about the 15th annual Sweethearts in Texas Spring Fling Hoedown Friday and Saturday nights, April 13th and 14th at the BRB. But especially go there on Thursdays, learn how to do all that country and western dancing. Now, I did want to promote Marcy Ray, because she's a favorite in the gay community. I know this sounds kind of odd, but
she back at Kroger?
Yes. You know, hey, it's a gig, right? Every Saturday and Sunday, she is from noon to 2, she's at the Kroger at Woodlands. In addition, that was March 2nd and 3rd. Sorry. Let's see what else she's got. Sunday, March the 4th, from 4 to 6 p.m. She's at the Kroger at 43rd and Ella. So, you want to catch her there? Hey, you know.
Featuring her new song, Paper or Plastic.
There you go. And I do want to, you know, if I don't do anything else, I want to talk about the Houston Equal Rights Alliance, HERA, which is really growing strong in this community. And HERA has hired longtime activist Jack Valinsky. Jack Valinsky brings his years of experience in GLBT activism to the Houston Equal Rights Alliance, and I can't think of a better man to head that up, because Jack is like Mr. Gay Professional Houston. And, of course, you can hear him every Monday nights from 8 until 10 on Queer Voices. So congratulations, Jack. Let's see here. I've got a couple other things, but that can wait. You want to play a song, or are we going to go right
into let's play a song because they're not in the room.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to hit the button.
Hit that button.
You should know the song. You've heard it before. We played it before. It's not new. It's old.
Well, so much.
I thought we'd go for a little 80s cover music.
Alrighty.
I know what boys like. Let me just make sure I got the name of the band right, because Frustrated Housewives, Boys Like Me. This is After Hours. I'll tell you all the rest of that in a couple minutes when it gets closer to the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's time for the bisexual show.
All right.
Or do we come up with a real name for it?
The bisexual agenda.
Bisexual agenda.
Yeah.
And now I go click.
All right. Good evening. Or afternoon, morning, whatever. Somewhere in the
morning. Morning, whatever.
Welcome to another segment of the Bisexual Agenda, starring Robin and David. doing our thing. Talk about...
Hey, we don't want to get into details. We might get kicked off the air.
Yeah, right. Our goal here, I say, is to promote the possibility that this thing we call bisexual is a valid sexual orientation. That it is, you know, for real. That's not a bunch of people who are sitting on the fence and all kind of trying to decide, well, who are they?
Oh, it's not some deviancy or some.
Right.
People, like you say, they're confused. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't decided. They're gay and they just haven't decided yet.
Right.
And all that.
And as I like to say, you know, people say we're sitting on the fence. My reply is, what's wrong with sitting on the fence? If you do it right, you can actually feel pretty good. So. And like Jimmy, I'm getting over a cold myself, so I'll try not to cough into the microphone and make all sorts of rude noises. But before we get started, I want to talk a few minutes about something I'm going to be involved with. Got to give a little plug. If any of you listening or not were listening to Queer Voices this last Monday, may have heard about this. I am involved with a group or an organization called the Mankind Project. It is an international organization that sponsors various weekend retreats and other types of workshops and events for men, for giving men an opportunity to kind of do things to help, you know, improve their lives, deal with issues in my head, or just simply take a look at what's going on in their life and, you know, kind of take inventory of what is working, what's not. And one of the things we do is about once a month, the Houston community of the New Warrior, of the Mankind Project, we put on what's called the New Warrior Training Adventure, which is a weekend retreat for men. And it's kind of a lead-in or open lead-in to being able to participate in other events that we sponsor, like in other weekend retreats or ongoing men's groups that meet weekly or various other activities. And what we'll sometimes do, these weekend retreats are open to all men. And within the local community, we do have a large proportion of gay men involved. But every now and then, it has been found in our experience that sometimes it occasionally does work to have a weekend, one of these weekend retreats kind of geared towards a certain group of men. Any man can participate, but occasionally we like to kind of market it a little different. So previously, we've had a week, one of these retreats where it was for men whose native language is Spanish. So we have most of the processes were done in the Spanish language. This last fall, we had a weekend in which we place a special emphasis on being able to help men who are deaf or otherwise have hearing impairments, so that we have people on staff participating who are skilled in doing sign language. What I'm participating in, I'm going to be staffing, is in April, the weekend of April 13th, 14th, and 15th. We're going to be having a weekend which is being geared for gay or bi men. And by that I mean that the processes we'll be doing are probably like we normally do, but we are kind of emphasizing if a gay man who is gay or bi has what been interested in participating in one of these events, but it's kind of held off because, you know, quite frankly, probably the majority of men normally do these things, probably are straight. This time we are emphasizing the idea of creating a safe place for men who are self-identified as gay or bi to be able to come and participate. And rather than spend a bunch of time talking about it. If anybody's interested, you can contact me via our personal email address at buyagenda@peoplepeacseek.com, or you can go to the website for the parent organization, Mankind Project, which can be reached at www.mkp.org, or the Houston community has its own site, which is mkphouston.org, and there'll be additional information there. Also, a phone number you can reach the Houston office is 713-629-1460. And like I said, it's something which I've been involved with for about 7 or 8 years now and find that's had a lot of value in my own life and helped me kind of make decisions about who I am and things I want to deal with, but as a man, as a male, and kind of, you know, just deal with things in general. And quite frankly, I just enjoy participating in that process and what we do there. So, Enough of that. The theme for tonight, when we do these programs, like maybe one month we do something kind of fun, and next month might do something serious. And for various reasons, we missed last month, so we're kind of playing catch up. But the title, if I could say, title for our little discussion, that comes from a chapter in the book, The Bisexual Option by Fritz Klein. And the title is this title: the troubled bisexual and the healthy bisexual. And of course, what's the difference? For me, the idea behind this general discussion is something I've had in the back of my mind for some time about, again, talking about, well, what is bisexuality, and what might motivate someone to have some sort of sexual attraction that goes both ways. And, of course, talking to people who have been dealing with things like sexual addictions and other conditions that may be less than healthy but are expressed sexually, and that they may find themselves being engaged in bisexual activities. What really got me thinking recently is I am participating in a men's support group that meets every week. And here, a couple of months ago, we were doing some exercises where the men were teaming off in groups of two. And, you know, we'll have to get a lot of details. Basically, one man would take a turn and kind of talk about what's going on. The other man would sit. Basically, his job is to listen. And then we switch over. And this other man who's in this same group, I mean, he kind of has some, identifies as being, you know, possibly bisexual himself. And he was telling me his story, and I do have permission from him to kind of tell his story a little bit. I'm not going to get into all the details, or I'm going to not, you know, say who it is or anything like that. But he's talking about how he thinks he may have developed those tendencies, because he himself might otherwise label himself as being straight. As he told me once, if he saw a naked lady, he would definitely be interested. If he saw a naked man, he probably would want to tell the guy, hey, guy, go put some clothes on. Something's wrong here. But he had some experiences growing up that may have contributed to what he finds himself dealing with. Apparently, the story he tells is that during the first, say, 3 years of his life, when he was born to up to about age three, his mother was treating him like he was a girl, you know, dressing as a girl and basically treating him like that. And apparently it wasn't until maybe 3 years older he's allowed to act out more like who he is. And of course, he had some other experiences, and I had a chance to talk more about this, get some ideas about where he's coming from. And for, you know, he telling me that, you know, for example, he was telling me this later, like I guess permission to talk about this, where he doesn't necessarily think of himself as being attracted to men that much, but he knows he does have some interest there. So, yes, you know, so in fact, yeah, he may have a sexual interest in men, but it's just different from his nature of sexual interest in women. And that when he sees a woman, what he finds himself relating to is, say, he sees a woman who's well-dressed, he starts imagining himself dressed the same way. So maybe he has maybe some transsexual tendencies that's just not very strong, but it's still there. And also, I've heard stories of men who were acting out a form of what some people refer to as a sexual addiction. Some people argue there's no such thing as a sexual addiction, but in my discussion with those people, there's an agreement there's something going on. So we're just maybe arguing over labels. But that in a desire to deal with some neurotic condition or severe anxiety or something else, by trying to act out sexually as a way to try and find relief. And so the example you might could have some guy who is otherwise straight, but who will then act out sexually with other men to get a fix, for lack of a better term, in attempt to deal with some condition, which is not in of itself a sexual thing. And so that causes, you know, I find myself thinking about, and this is, you know, questions I ask myself to be as clear as I can be, what motivates me to have a sexual attraction to men as well as women? But to make sure that I myself am not acting out, that this, what I am experiencing is legitimate. And in my own experience, as I've thought about this, done some counseling, talked to other people, gotten feedback, that I do believe that my tendency is real, and it's okay. It's perfectly all right for me to have attraction to both men and women. If there is an issue, it may just be pay attention to my own actions so that I can find ways of acting on that interest in a healthy way, as opposed to, you know, like I said, you know, usually get a quick fix. You know, it's like, oh, there's no woman. I go find a man. I need it just that badly. And trying to find, you know, talk about this and figure out, okay, when, you know, help people to understand, well, when, you know, what's the difference? And,
Well, the difference, well, when I had read the chapter in the book, I actually equated to my own experiences. And I kind of look at it as maybe I might have started off as a troubled bisexual. And as time went by and as I learned more, I started turning into more of a healthy bisexual situation where I would get involved in relationships that were very abusive, which quoted in the book very often is about how people use bisexuality to either control people.
Right.
Or like you said, to work out some type of urge or some type of urge or something that you have that's not natural, and it's not a legitimate reason why you would want to be with the same sex.
Right.
But I mean, I had went through that experience where I known some people that I know a certain specific person. I'm not gonna say his name or anything on the air, but he was telling me that that he was a child that he was raped, molested by an older person that he was close to, and when he got up in his teens, you know, around puberty, that he was confused because he was wanting to be with men too, and he was very confused about it, and he didn't know what to do, and he was very troubled by it. So later on he got some help with that, but he was telling me about that, and he never told anyone that but me. And I was thinking about that. A lot of people have these sexual tendencies because they've been abused when they're younger by someone, or it could be other reasons, like you were saying about the guy you were talking about that dresses his mom dressed him up like a girl, and he's supposed to be a boy.
Right.
And evidently, it might have done some type of impact on him, even though he doesn't aware of it. It's a subconscious thing that happens. And so that's probably some of the things that you're seeing. And there's other stories that I heard of people being completely straight or whatever, and they go to prison, and they come out kind of messed up. They don't know what to do because they somebody's hoe or whatever you want to call it up in prison. And it's not sexual at all. It's more of a control thing, whoever's pecking order, who has pecking over who and who controls who and what. Usually they don't have anything to do with sex. A lot of these cases don't have anything to do with sex or anything like that. Well, the legitimate reason is that the reason why I say that mine was pretty normal is because even when I was a little girl, I had attraction to other girls.
Mm-hmm.
I would see, like, characters on TV, like Wonder Woman, or I remember Jane Kennedy. I had a thing for her and Grace Jones. I mean, I was sexually attracted to these women. And I don't remember anything had happened to me that could change my thought pattern. So that it may be a legitimate reason. It's just I did not know that's what it was. So I was confused, not because I've been abused or something like that. I was confused because I didn't have an idea what it was.
Right.
I knew about gay. I knew what gay and lesbian was.
Right.
And I knew what straight was, but I didn't know there was an in-between.
Someone I was talking about here reminds me, I remember here a few months ago, Chris was reading something off some Christian group's website. Some preacher was talking about trying to explain why, you know, some boys might have expressed some gay tendencies or going through some sort of gender identity crisis or something. And
were they having them to go to like a Jesus camp or some type of
maybe
a place where they make you straight?
Supposedly. Now, what I'm talking about, though, is, like I say, we're promoting the idea, as far as I'm concerned, being bi is a legitimate orientation. And there are people who have had experiences where they may kind of, I kind of make a generalized statement here and saying that maybe people might otherwise be straight then kind of go towards the gay side. But they're doing it for what could be considered unhealthy reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that the act itself is unhealthy. I was reading through this chapter earlier this evening, kind of reviewing it, and Fritz Klein does make the point about telling there's a difference between the neurotic act and the bisexuality. You could have a neurotic straight person or a neurotic gay person or a neurotic bi person, and the issue is not the orientation. But there's maybe that whatever condition they're being trying to deal with, they're expressing the attempt to deal with sexually. And like I said, someone might use sex in an attempt to deal with some emotional pain.
Yes, the same thing probably with using drugs or food.
Right.
You know, other things you can, that's addicting or abusive. You can abuse anything, including sex.
Right. pardon me. So the thing we're talking about tonight is, talk about our experiences we've heard from other people. And, of course, I hopefully offer some suggestions on how to deal with it.
Well, for me, I started getting more information when I... What really messed me up is not knowing what it is.
Right.
Even when I was in my 20s, I didn't know what it was. I thought there was something wrong with me, so I would try to either be straight or I would try to be gay. Try to go either way, I find myself still being attracted to the other, to the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of it. And so it's a thing where... A dilemma where I ended up either trying to go this way or that way, not realizing that there's a middle.
Right.
So it was kind of trouble because I was doing things where I was lying to either the person or lying to myself.
Okay. And I remember one time in another group that I was participating in, my own history, just kind of a quick recap, when I consider myself bisexual, this is a label I've only been applying myself, say, the last, approximately 10 years. And perhaps only seriously the past 6 or 7. Though when I really think about it, the potential has always been there. But it is kind of like you're saying, I didn't know there could be a middle ground, sort of like it's either straight or gay. And while I was saying my nature favors the straight side, if I came across the image of, say, a nude man or something, it would get my attention. I'd be wondering myself, why am I looking at this guy? What's this? Or even just in normal situations, I might see some man walking down the street, and maybe only for a fraction of a second, it would still catch my attention, and, I'd find out, just cut it off. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be looking at this guy because I'm straight.
Yes, the same thing I went through.
Right. So it's a case, though, where it's only been the last, like I said, maybe roughly 10 years, I've started to think, well, maybe I do have some attraction to men as well as women. And, of course, maybe that's all right. I mean, listening to this show has helped me a lot in that. But the basic, quick story is here a couple, 3 or 4 years ago, again, one of these men's groups are participating. There was another man there who was talking about some sexual identity issues he's dealt with. Again, I would say my judgment, listening to him talking, that the guy's basically straight, but he had a negative experience as a child. He was raped. And he had basically, all things, he experienced pleasure from that experience. Not to say that was one endorsed what happened, but he apparently did found some pleasure in the experience, and that kind of just has created some confusion for him. And of course, in my own case, I'm kind of asking questions and asking, okay, how legitimate is this? Is this real? Is there something else going on? And of course, it's this one of those things, hear somebody else's story helps me better understand mine. Because he's talking about, and he's being honest about that. When it comes right down to it, he really doesn't like that. That's not for him. But I can listen to him and realize what things he's talking about. It's like, hey, wait a minute, I want, that man might be interested in that. Hold on.
I have to step in and let you know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
All right. So.
Well, I find out, a lot of times these molesters and these people that, these child pedophiles and stuff, they basically are they don't just come up and just jump on you and just rape you. Every now and then it would happen, but it's rare.
Right.
Usually what happens is they gain their trust to be their friend and everything, gain their trust and everything. Then they start out slowly by touching and all that. But then they tell them, oh, you enjoying it. So, it's they trick you into thinking, oh, you enjoying it, so it must be your fault. So you grow up with this guilt trip,
Right.
That it's my fault because I liked it and everything. That's a lot of times why they don't tell their parents, why they don't tell anyone right. about it. It goes unscathed for years. Maybe like full grown people by the time they finally come out and say something, maybe the guy got in trouble for doing the act on somebody else, and then they finally come out of the woodwork and say, you know, well, this happened. He did the same thing to me, or she did the same thing to me.
Right.
So, but these pedophiles and these molesters, that's what they do. I mean, they lure you in. They make you think it's your fault because that's how they control you. They use it to control you.
Right.
And that way you don't go off and go tell everybody because they just did it to you. And you know it's wrong and stuff. Your parents told you, oh, somebody touched you is wrong. You most likely you might go and tell someone, at least your friend. But if they kind of manipulate it and kind of work trying to gain your trust, and then all of a sudden they doing this stuff to you, and they, you know, you thinking it feels good and everything, so I must be participating in it. But most of the time, you're not participating in it, just been manipulated.
Right.
So that may be why your friend feels so guilty.
Could be. Yeah, you know, it's like I said, I'm listening to his story and realize that some parts of the story could lead to other parts. I could say, no, that's not me. He's dealing with something which he can honestly say to himself he doesn't like. It's not him. But I could hear this, I could see kind of a mirror and saying, wait a minute, there is something here I see in myself, and there's something about that I do like. That's been part, kind of part of the stroke for me is really both accepting and being all right. So, hey, there's something here that works for me. And therefore, I better take a look at some of these, you know, messages I picked up from society and accept it and start maybe reevaluating, maybe change my mind a few places so I can integrate this into my life and find a good, you know, a healthy way to express it.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the church. Oh, you know, ever since I was born, I've been going to church, but I was Southern Baptist Church. And I could imagine there's many gays, lesbians, straight, you know, bi, transgender and all that that's been through the same experience. And, you know, you're going through in this bisexuality. I mean, you're gay. You know, you just like no attraction to a female, no attraction to a man. You know, the opposite sex is just ain't there. So it's just a clear slate. But when you're bisexual, it can be really rough, especially when you're getting these messages from the church and media and all that. It can be really rough, so it's so easy to slide into the unhealthy bisexual behavior, even if you're a legitimate bisexual.
Right.
Because of the bad messages you get. You know, it took me forever to get the right message. I mean, my friend introduced me to Gigi. It was like, it's like back in 96.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's like almost a lifetime, like a half my life. So it's like, man, why didn't I meet this guy earlier, you know? But the information is out there, but it's like you gotta look for it. So it ain't like gay people have a hard time finding it too, but gay people has really gotten more established. They gotten more grounded. So there's more things out there that they can probably go to that's, you know, that's easily accessible with bisexuality. Like as you look in the gay and lesbian yellow pages or any other type of any type of information board or something, you might see maybe one or two bisexual ads in there, and everything else is generally like gay, transgender, and stuff like that. You know, like even the transgender people are starting to get more grounded, where it's easier for you to get information, you can get a little help or whatever like that. I'm glad for that too, because I can imagine the way society is already going through that, and they state that, well, God made you a guy, so you just got to put up with it. It's like, no, you don't have to do that, but it's, I can imagine having to hear that, and you know down deep down in your heart that you're a female. And you just in the wrong body. Is so being bisexual is really tricky, because then like, well, if you like women, why are you with a guy? You know, you gotta keep explaining yourself.
Right.
And then they're looking at you all confused, because it's like they don't really understand it, because you don't really understand it, because you don't really have the information. Until you get all the information and learn more about it, you can't really explain it either. I mean, I find myself trying to explain it and couldn't explain it because I couldn't understand it.
All right.
So it's the bisexual, agenda, the bisexual network, is trying to get bigger. Like, they have the bi conference and all that stuff. But, I mean, having it all out in the media, and, I mean, a lot of times you'll watch TV and stuff, you see a lot of television shows with bisexual, with bis and gay, like Will and Grace and Ellen, you know, when she came out.
Right.
You know, you had all these different shows. You have, like, the Rosie O'Donnell, you know, she's a lesbian, and, I mean, but you hardly rarely see anything or hear anything, even in a movie. Every year, see a movie every now and then that kind of puts it in there, but they're not going to just say bisexual in big letters.
Right.
It's just in there, and you just got to be like, if bisexual or note it, just pay attention, and you see it in there. Like Brokeback Mountain, a lot of people say, oh, they're gay, you know. And in a way, that's more of a bisexual thing because they're married to these women. Yeah. And I really, really think these guys really love their wives.
Right.
They have a good relationship with them. They good parents and everything. But then they love this guy, you know.
Okay.
They have a relationship with this guy. So in a way, that's a bisexual.
Right.
That's behavior.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people don't see it that way unless you bring it up, unless you, like me, bisexual. And I'm looking at it, and I noticed it, but a lot of people, they look right over it and don't even notice that.
Yeah. And, of course, we're here doing our part to get it out there.
Uh-huh.
I mean what Fritz Klein talks about in his book, there's other places, you know, like the Kinsey's sexual orientation scale and all that there's... Some people argue that ultimately all people are probably bisexual to some degree. And, you know, how far one direction or another they favor kind of depends on who they are as persons and the social influence and how they process that. I mean, while looking at myself, I would say by basic nature, if you know, as far as having a relationship, you know, I'm having it with you. You know, you're mm-hmm. you're a woman.
Yes.
I can still have her, and of course we are sexual, enjoy that. But I may still, you know, every now and then I say, hey, I want to go play with a guy. And go have that pleasure of being sexual with another man. Though I don't really expect it to, you know, I can see, you know, that could develop into a friendship. I never expect to want to marry the guy. You know, I don't think that's not how it works for me. And that seems to work. Some other people might actually want to have some sort of combination.
It's a polyamorous type relationship going there with a guy and a girl kind of live together or whatever type thing.
So, like, one of the bisexual myths is that, you know, a bisexual person has to have both a boyfriend and a girlfriend.
It's not true.
No.
I mean, I can have either one or the other and I'd be happy, but I don't have to have both at the same time.
Right. Let's see. So, question might be, if someone finds themselves being a quote-unquote troubled bisexual, how do you deal with that? Well, as I, you know, a lot of my own personal work, psychological, wherever, that I've dealt with, it ultimately comes down to a case of, you know, practicing and teaching loving self-acceptance. Just, hey, I'm okay as I am. I accept myself. If I still have some confusion, that's okay. I still love me. I'm all right. What somebody else says doesn't matter. What I say about myself is what's important. And, you know, practicing that and being all right with myself. And being all right if there is still some confusion. Okay, I'm confused. I'll live with that. As a quote I've heard says, I'm living in the question and letting it teach me. So,
what helped me out of the situation was basically once I figure out this information and there's somebody else out there that's bisexual, and then get on the internet, find out bisexual conferences, meetings, different stuff, and get around other bisexuals and have, like, a dialogue. And that's basically what I did to help me get out of the situation to keep me from being a troubled bisexual. Because, I mean, I was in relationships where I would get with a lesbian, but she doesn't like me being bisexual, so the relationship would be very messed up. You know, and then I would get with a man, and he doesn't like it, so it would be messed up. It's just all kinds of problems until I figure it out, really. And then it's the idea that you know who you are inside and everything, and you accept yourself the way you are.
Uh-huh. I was glancing at Rich Klein's book here. There's a little thing here, a little paragraph. Let's see. I just quote Dr. Klein. Flexibility seems to be an uncontestably healthy quality essential for enjoyment of life's variety. While a person's outlook and inner world becomes increasingly narrow to the ultimate extreme of disabling rigidity. But flexibility without purpose can pave the way to to self-destruction. A Dr. Horney, who is being quoted here, explains, sexual activities become not only a release of sexual tension, but also a manifold non-sexual psychic psychic tensions. They can be a vehicle to drain self-contempt in masochistic activities, or as a means to act out self-torment by sexual degradation, degrading or tormenting of others. Sadistic activities. Practice it. They form one of the most frequent ways of alloying. pardon me. Well, I'll try to pronounce this word. A-L-L-A-Y-I-N-G. Allowing anxiety. The individuals themselves are unaware of such connections. They may not even be aware of being under a particular tension or of having anxiety, but may be experiencing a rising sexual excitement or desire. A patient may, for instance, come closer to experiencing his self-hate and suddenly there emerge plans or fantasies of sleeping with some girl. Or he may talk about some weakness in himself which he profoundly despises and have sadistic fantasies of torturing somebody weaker than he is. So, I just was quoting that. We're coming from that. It's not the thing itself. It's more how it's expressed.
Yes, because, like you said, this is not only equate with bisexuals. This also equate with straights and gays and any other type of orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they can be troubled gay people. I mean, I heard numbers of stories of gay people having trouble, and they use the sex.
Right.
And, I mean, and straight people, I mean... Every time you watch a soap opera or something, you see it in there, you know?
Right.
So it's not just a bisexual thing. It's an everybody thing, basically.
Right.
I mean, you got people, you hear about it all the time in the straight and gay world. So a lot of times you can take the information you get from the straight and gay world, that equates with maybe dealing with the situation, with the problem. You can also equate that with bisexuality.
Right.
Yeah, you got
it. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I know there has been an example where some sort of anxiety condition or neurotic condition can occur. Most of my experience, what I read about, seems to be people who are otherwise straight, maybe experimenting with bisexuality. The term is bicurious.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind, though, there's also a situation of people who are gay but are still going through a process of accepting it, and so they may call themselves bisexual.
Yeah, that's one of those myths.
There's a little quote in Dr. Klein's book. Let's see. I don't remember where to put it. But, keep talking a second.
Okay.
Here's a part. Okay, I'm just going to read out of the book here. One problem that is peculiar to some troubled bisexuals is a lack of confidence in their gender identification. This is often the case with a man or woman who is not bisexual at all, but homosexual, and afraid to let go of what is not actually an attraction to the opposite sex, but rather an allegiance to an externally imposed idea, usually rooted in the values of society. I feel I can only find my way back as long as I'm bisexual, one patient said to me. Back to where, I asked. To the straight life, he answered. Then I asked how he viewed the gay alternative. Oh, no, he insisted. Otherwise, why would I be bisexual? And I think that's where we sometimes get the question about the fence sitters.
Yes.
People whose nature is to be gay. But again, we're living in a society, society that's still kind of sex negative in general, but can be especially negative towards someone who has, who is gay, whose sexual attraction is counter to the social norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so in an attempt to protect themselves from, those outside influences, but also, their own internal conflict, they might say, I kind of like both. I like both men and women to protect themselves from wherever. Rather than admitting that, maybe they prefer, their own kind.
Yeah, they haven't exactly stepped all the way out of the closet, so to speak.
Right.
I find out that other parts of being bisexual troubled is, oh, I had it at the top of my mind a while ago, is, lost it. Lost the thought.
Lost your train of thought?
Yes, I lost train of thought.
Let's see. And again, you know, idea question might be, what do I do with this? Again, I would say the goal, you know, is, you know, loving self-acceptance. That's what I would promote. That's what I personally promote myself, promote for other people. And, of course, there's various ways of doing that. There are support groups available. The Montrose Counseling Center is a good resource locally. I've actually done some work with them myself and found it helpful. There are various other groups, various forms of counseling. You know, this thing, this Mankind Project I was talking about earlier, that might be, for men, that might be a good place to get some help.
Oh, okay. I think you came back now? Well, a lot of things I find that's troubling sometimes is like, talking about Brokeback Mountain, where these guys were having a relationship and they wasn't telling their wives about it. And a lot of times the issue comes up about a down low, and it can cause very bad consequences from not being truthful to whoever, their girlfriend or wife or a husband or whatever. And they go out and they do it bareback or whatever, and they bring something home. That can cause a really problem. And, and I kind of see that as trouble. Like me and you, you go out to Midtown, or maybe you might find some guy or whatever. I might get with some female or whatever. But we open to that, telling each other about those.
Right.
You know, I have met this girl and I'm thinking about maybe getting with her. You know, I tell you about it, like the same thing you tell me, I'm going to Midtown and it's okay for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of sneaking around and you've been in caught something, so at least you did catch something from Midtown or whatever. It's
not that they promote, but
it's
that.
One of those things where we're extra careful with each other because of that. We do this outside external behavior. So it's kind of like, okay, you know, we take extra precautions. We respect that these other people, we don't really know them. So we use protection. We're not going to go out there and just go bareback or whatever, you know. But, I mean, even if something did happen, we know that we most likely would find out about it before it gets really, really bad out of hand. Where when you're sneaking around and stuff, the wife never knows about it. I mean, I heard about whole entire families dying, like kids, the parents and the children.
Okay.
Because one of the parents was out having sex bareback with somebody.
Right.
Brought it home and didn't say anything about it. And somehow they had kids and the kids ended up with it. And, I mean, a whole entire family has died. And I was just devastated.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I remember hearing horror stories like that. So, a lot of times, to me, I would suggest to men that are bisexual or whatever, I would suggest to them that there are women out there that are like me. It's going to take a while for you to find it, because it took me a long time for me to find a man that was like me, that was willing to be open.
All right.
Instead of me wanting to be with females or be whatever, you know, whatever the case. And I always tell men this, even straight men, that just wants to be with other women, but they still want to be in a relationship. There are relationships like that. Then, and I was telling them, but you're going to have to accept that maybe she's going to want to go out and meet with other people too.
Right.
So it can't just be a double-edged sword. It's got to be like both ways. But I always tell men that if you want to be like that, you know, if you really want to be like that, there are women out there that are like me that are willing to be open. And that'll break that trouble stuff real quick where, you know, you wear protection. You know, don't just go out and, you know, be careful who you go out, even if you're doing with other people. You want to be careful anyway with other people. Maybe you have a friend that's just a friend that you do it with every now and then instead of just doing it with a stranger. Like me, I have friends. I have like a couple of friends that I've known for years.
All right.
And do it with them as not with you. And I know those people well enough where we can almost be dating, but we never thought about dating. We just every now and then, hey, let's do something or whatever, you know.
Right.
But I mean, you can have relationships like that. And there are men and women that are that way. It's just you gotta go. It's just certain places you gotta go. just, you know where to look and all that stuff. Because there are people out there. Because, you know, that, and that'll kill a lot of this stuff. Because honesty and communication is like one of the main keys of relationships. Gay, straight, bi, open, polyamorous, anything like that. You got to have communication. Even in a polyamorous relationship, you need to tell your spouse what's going on and vice versa. Because even if you're in a polyamorous relationship, openness, you can still have problems.
Right.
So that's one of the main things that you can do to stop the troubleness in bisexuality or whatever.
And move into a place of being a healthy bisexual.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess the healthiness would be self-accepting, self-respect, being respectful for others, you know, learning what you can and doing, you know, personal work, whatever, to, you know, resolve where issues might be coming up.
And sometimes you're going to run across, every now and then I might want to do it with somebody and David might not feel comfortable with me doing a guy. If he just don't want me to do it, okay, I won't fool with this person.
Right.
I won't disrespect him. And the same thing with me. If he can find some woman, I just felt a bad feeling about her. There's something about her that just something wrong or just turned me off. Oh, David, I don't know. I don't think you should fool with her. You know, okay. You know, I just automatically just cut it off. Don't even, you know, have nothing to do sexually with this person. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll talk to you or whatever, your friend, but I ain't going no further than that. You know, and a lot of times I'll meet people and they want to do me. And I said, well, I got to talk to David first. And they tell me, well, I don't want you to tell them. I go, well, I can't do nothing with you. So I can't tell David about it.
Right.
You know, this just ain't going to happen. You didn't want me to keep a secret from him. Look, I had a relationship with him, and I'm planning to be married to him and be long-term with him. And I'm not going to keep nothing from him, especially something that serious. I'm not going to keep nothing like that from him.
I know there's some guy who's been propositioning you occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
And for what you've told me about, he's being a little contradictory and what he'll come around and ask you, you know, draw some strong hints and want to go play around with you, and yet he's supposedly, you know, participating in a Bible class and supposed to be a good, upstanding Christian.
I mean, he told me that the sex symbol at the bass drop was Sodom and Gomorrah the other day.
Right.
After he asked, could he, I'm in my pajamas at the doorway. I'm getting ready. It's late at night. I'm getting ready to turn in. He's like, well, can I turn in with you? I go, no, you can't. And he's like, why not? I said, because I don't want to. And then after that, he tells me that place out there in Bastrop, that temple, he said that Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
He was like, wait a minute, hold on, you just confident in yourself.
Right. Something I was thinking of about relationships. Subscribed to a couple of Yahoo groups for bisexual men.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, these basically, you know, purpose of this website, the Yahoo groups, these guys are posting and say, hey, I've got time free. Does anybody want to come over, you know, to do something? And a fairly common message is that the wife's going to be out of town for a couple of days. He's got, you know, freedom to come do something. It's like, you know, we're back in the case where the man doesn't, you know, the wife doesn't know. And, you know, technically speaking, we're probably practicing adultery. And you know, now, as far as if that's okay with the guy in question, you know, more power to him. You know, he's willing to, you know, accept the risk involved there and take appropriate precautions.
Go, he's taking a really big one, though.
Right. But obviously, you know, if the wife finds out, all hell's going to probably break loose.
Yeah, and it's not a good idea to want to have that on your stress. You know, you just, that's just one thing you just don't want to be stressing about.
Right, but that also explains past the dilemma, which I think what kind of show that's what happened, the movie Brokeback Mountain, the dilemma of, you know, some guy knowing, yeah, the guy probably is, you know, in this case, loves his wife, happily married and all that, just, in those cases, he wants to go play with some other guys.
And
you know,
it's not that
parts.
He wants to play with them, it's just he has a full-blown relationship with this guy, so it ain't just going around playing around.
Right.
I mean, that's the guy basically has a relationship with two people.
Right.
Except with one problem. She doesn't know that. And by her being heterosexual and growing up in the
They never had that agreement in the first place.
He probably always had feelings for men. But like you said, he grew up in the culture. I think this movie was set back in Like early times, it wasn't like right now.
The movie, the original, the Brokeback Mountain. Uh-huh. I haven't seen it. I think it was started out, say, the early 60s and kind of evolved
so
over
right
a 15, 20 year period.
Yeah, it's right around that year where being gay wasn't a good idea. You could get like really injured. Well, God knows what could happen to you. You openly come out. So you had to, especially being a cowboy, the type of work they probably did, it's like, you come out being gay, it's going to be some problems. So, you know, it's one of those things where he probably wanted to come out to her, but it was just too dangerous.
Right.
So he just had no choice to sneak around. These days, times gotten a lot better. It still can be pretty bad, but I mean, it's gotten a lot better, including in some people's jobs. They can be out, you know, and stuff like that. But even like football, I heard about football players, professional football players being gay, and they don't come out till they retire.
Right.
Because of the way the atmosphere is and stuff. This is masculine atmosphere, and if you come out doing the time you're playing, it can be some problems.
Right. Not to say that, you know, there are, you know, just thinking, you know, there may be a little bit of stereotype there about, you know, we're talking about being a masculine environment where, and suppose a gay men are supposed to be effeminate. Well, seems like the majority of gay men I personally know, if I didn't, a lot of them, you know, a lot of them, I can look and, you know, I've gotten to know them, yeah, they're gay. But there's a lot of them, quite frankly, until they told me, I may never known. You know, my gaydar is not that well developed.
I mean, there are some men out there that you would never know they're gay. They're very masculine. They have masculine jobs. Some of them play football. Some of them work in construction and stuff. I mean, that's where that idea comes from. Mining company, you know, the bar. I mean, it makes sense. A mining company. You got these guys working in a mine. You don't know what's going on in there. You know, look at that. Women that turn women on to see men with hard hats on with their tomb belts and their tight jeans and their muscle shirts and stuff, and they're all sweaty and dirty. I mean, I can imagine it works for the men too.
Yeah, so awesome.
So I mean, there's cowboys, so many gay cowboys. Same thing with lesbians. I love lesbian cowgirls.
Right. And of course, there are bisexual cowboys and cowboy girls.
Yeah, so yes, that's bisexual. So a lot of times you have like these guys, and I ran into a lot of bisexuals that do not appear to be gay whatsoever. I mean, we know some now. They accused of just being a little feminine or whatever, maybe have a little sensitivity, but that's about it. Otherwise, they just think they're straight. They don't have any clue that they're bi or whatever. And most of them that I run into that I know, or they appear that way, so they kind of fit in society pretty easily. So a lot of times, they don't never let anybody know that they're bi, unless they're around their friends or whatever.
Right.
You know? So
anyway, so anyway, how are we doing on time?
You're getting close.
Okay.
Wrap, it's fine.
Okay.
Well, any comments on it, Chris? Or
nope.
Nope.
We're doing such a good job, he doesn't have to say anything.
Yeah, no, just
okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and wrap it up so we maybe move on to something different here.
Well, I was thinking maybe we can be a little comical today with this book.
Yeah, we'll probably talk more about this next month.
Yes.
But changing subject, changing energy. Let's go. Yeah, we're kind of been kind of in some heavy energy here. Let's kind of lighten things up. Here, two or three weeks ago, I was over at Barnes & Noble up at Deerbrook Mall in Humble, looking through the gay studies section, and I came across this book that I went ahead and bought. It's called The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe, Quips, Tips, and Lists for Those Who Can Go Both Ways by Nicole Crystal and Mike Zizmetsky, good Polish boy. But it is a book on bisexuality, and it's a book that's got some attitude in it. I mean, these people are having too much fun while they're writing this book. And it talks about the issue of bisexuality and some of the things people do. But like I said, it's definitely tongue-in-cheek. They had a good time. Talks about various issues, about, gays, you know, bisexuals movie, which we talked about here a couple months ago, which had the book then. Focus Up Pie was just published this last fall, and the folks do have a website. And let's see, where did I put that? I think it's bisexualguide.org or something. Let's see.
I think it might have fell out.
Huh? Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry. Yeah, the Bisexual Guide to the Universe. Bisexual Guide. You know, look it up on the internet. They got websites, kind of fun to look at. But again, it's just lots of stuff here about. You got the going version of a bisexual, or sexual orientation test, the Are You Bi test. Let's see, where'd it go? Let's read a couple of questions off here real quick. Yeah, the Are You Bi test. Question one, there's three. It says, have you had sex with both sexes? And, answers are, you circle one. The answer A is yes, B is no, and C is, I think I did, but I was drunk. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. AC/DC refers to alternating current, direct current, someone who goes both ways, or C, a lame band from the 70s. Let's see. And a couple more here. The Kinsey scale proves that all sexuality is fluid. If you lay off the carbs, you can really shed those pounds. Or see, I'm more gay than you. And let's see, what do you do about unwanted body hair? Okay. Well, A, I wax every day. B, I shave only when I might get laid. And see, I don't have any unwanted body hair. So, yeah, circle one of those and add them up and decide, okay, where on the scale are you? So.
Yeah, it comes out. It's kind of like the fixed clyde book and more in humorous terms.
Right. There's something here about coming out. I mean, this is good information if you're gay. Here's something about the taste test, the sushi or hot dog dilemma. About different types of food. Which kind of food do you prefer? And like I said, we'll get more into this detail. What I hope to do is maybe contact the authors, maybe work out some deal, get them on the show. Here's something about coming out to your radical right-wing dad. And, do's and don'ts. One is, do consider not telling him at all. Don't tell him while he's watching his favorite minister on the Praise the Lord. Do stand a safe distance when uttering any word or phrase containing sexual. Let's see, I do have a P-flag brochure handy. Okay. Don't breathe the word while he's cleaning his guns, holding power tools, or sharpening a kitchen knife. Of course, there's one here I like. It talks about, if coming out to your hippie mom.
Hey, Chris, yeah. You had to listen to this one.
Okay. Yeah. You know, these are do's and don'ts about coming out.
Okay.
And this is about coming out to your hippie mom. Okay.
All right.
Do tell her anytime, any place, any day. Don't expect her to be surprised. Do tell her it isn't an open invitation to discuss her love life. Don't be surprised if she tells you about her love life anyway. Do resist giving her details about your sexual exploits. Don't be shocked when she tries to live vicariously through you. Do accept the free pot she gives you to celebrate. Don't whine when she complains that your generation just can't roll a decent joint. So, and the whole book's kind of like that.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk about more about it.
Yeah,
we'll
talk about that next month.
Like I said, I might see about contacting authors, but I can talk and find some way to get them on the show sometime.
Okay,
sounds like it'd be a fun thing to do. All righty. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap up this segment. Again, if anybody has any comments, you can write us at. Email at biagenda, biagenda at peoplepc.com or through this show here. Also promoting Binet Houston, which is a group here, support group for bisexual people here in Houston. They have two meetings. One is first Saturday night of the month, which we just had, which is the bi movie night.
Yeah, you want to come in and get a free meal and watch a good movie, check it out. It's at the Gay and Lesbian Center off 3400 block of Montrose.
And, of course, there's the meeting at the Hobbit Cafe over off Richmond. I think that's on the third Thursday of the month. And again, they do have a Yahoo group, so you can look us up on Binet Houston.
And it's at the Hobbit Cafe in between Alpha Richmond, in between Kirby and Shepherd. At the Hobbit Cafe.
And look forward to hearing from you, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Thank you.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Hi.
I'm here.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Let's see. We did talk about some things going on in the community, but now we've got some stuff from our MBBs. I got a beautiful, beautiful picture from Jaime.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, wow.
Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love.
Beautiful.
Yes. God, the shading on the leaves and flowers is just gorgeous. I love this. And he writes to say, this is not the surprise I was telling you about last month, but I hope you like it. Are you kidding? I love it. The surprise was to be a portrait of you, but just as I was nearly done with it, I ruined it. Sorry. It's just that the picture I have of you is so small, which made it hard to work from, but I am thinking of trying it again in a more abstract style. What color are your eyes? What color are my eyes?
The blue.
Blue.
Brown.
No, they're not brown. They've never been brown. They're kind of they were kind of hazel and then greenish, and now in my older age they've turned blue. Very odd. I didn't know the eye color changed.
It's a white buffalo.
I guess. And then got another letter from Paul, who we haven't heard from in a while. It seems as though Paul got out, but then there's kind of a parole violation, and he's back in.
I know.
I hate to hear that.
We believe in reciprocation, not recidivization.
I know.
Something like that.
Paul was, in years past, Paul was one of the, I don't know, I just felt really close to him, and we would read different MBB letters, and he'd write in and tell me, you know, the one that you read, this guy is just a user, you know, don't mess with him, and stuff like that. And, you know, just let us know what was going on. He wanted to know, does Esoteric Adventures still broadcast? And sorry to say, Paul, no. The other Jim Vaughn, moved to Oklahoma.
And we ain't talking the musical.
No. He moved back to Tulsa. It was a family thing. He had to help out with his family. So he moved back there, and the show ended. And, yes, I still have your song with Katie Lang and Roy Orbison, but not with me tonight.
What song's that?
Crying.
Oh.
It's great, great rendition. I'll bring it next week, and we'll play it for Paul. So it's nice to hear from you. I'm sorry that it's under these conditions. Really, I am.
And we had another letter from Angel.
Really?
A new listener. Just found the show last week.
Uh-huh.
Another one's looking for pen pals, but no specs. But if he gets a picture of him soon, he'll send it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
please do. Please send a picture.
He actually types his.
Wow. Cool.
So, we got three MBB letters this week.
Nice, because it's not, we haven't had very many.
No.
And that's, we didn't have an MBB letter from Tigger.
Well, he wrote
last. Which is unusual.
He wrote 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We still got to get him that paperwork.
Where is it?
Your house.
Oops. Okay. Hooky. And we do want to talk, of course, about the Homo Revolution Tour.
Ah, yes.
That's coming up April the 6th.
Good Friday.
Club Dignity. located at 127 Scott Street, because Deadly will be performing there, as well as
Big Nug,
Johnny Dangerous, Melange, LaVon, Tori Fix, and Fox Giselle.
And three of those artists you hear here on After Hours.
Yeah, Fox Giselle is a transgender performer.
Ah.
So I'm anxious to hear her, him.
Shim?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are we allowed to say Shim on our show?
A what?
Shim?
No.
Oh, okay.
The local sponsors of the Homo Revolution Tour include GAYO, the Gay and Lesbian Latin Organization, and Unity in the Community.
And if someone out there knows what the hell Unity in the Community is...
I have no idea.
It is After Hours at kpft.org.
Please, please, please.
We know who GAYO is.
Things going on in... no, let's see. That's not it. Oh, I do want to talk about this. Bayou City Performing Arts proudly presents the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, House of Hope, Reclaiming Faith, Tuesday, March the 13th at 7:30 at Jones Hall. Don't miss this spiritually moving concert where together we will replace intolerance with understanding. Now, the word on the street is that this is a religious concert. While we guarantee that seeing this performance will be nothing short of a religious experiment that will send your spirit soaring, you won't find any of this material in a standard hymnal. Think universal, think primal, or aboriginal, Buddhist chant, African American spiritual. Think Imagine, the John Lennon hit that became a global utopian anthem. Circle of Life, Elton John's crown jewel to the Lion King. Michelle's Letter to Mama, a touching piece rendered from Armistead Maupin's Tale of the City. This is merely a glimpse. Come hear the 75 voices of the Gay Men's Chorus as we build community and help create social change by raising our voices in unity to reclaim faith in the spirit of justice and equality. Join us for House of Hope on Tuesday, March the 13th, 7:30 p.m. at Jones Hall. Things going on at the Houston GLBT Community Center this week, and that's on the second floor of the building located at 3400 Montrose. That's right across the side street from Kroger, right on Montrose. Let's see. Paige Mahogany and Vanity Wild and Community Awareness for Transgender Support is distributing clothing and food items to trans-identifying individuals in need at the community center on Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Paige collected many of these items last Saturday, during the drive she held at Bartini. If you would still like to share some clothing or non-perishable food items or a few dollars, please contact the community center. Paige received one of the community awards at the Houston Transgender Unity Banquet in 2006 and was especially honored for her work with transgender individuals from New Orleans and the Gulf Coast who had been displaced by Hurricane Katrina. And Rita. Outsmart selected Paige for its annual People to Watch list in 2004. Vanity is also a previous Unity Banquet Community Award winner. Houston GLBT Community Center activities this week include PFLAG Houston, which offices at the community center, and it holds its monthly meeting on Sunday, this Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5501 Main. The topic is supporting families. Team Houston meets at the community center on Sunday, 4 p.m. The Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, which displays some of its collection at the community center, meets at the community center on Monday, 7 p.m. Bunnies on the Bayou meets at the community center on Tuesday, 6 p.m. And the Houston GLBT Political Caucus holds its monthly general meeting at the community center on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Community Awareness for Transgender Center distributes clothing and food items to transgender individuals in need at the community center on Thursday, 3 to 7.
This is Unity Month. The Houston Transgender Unity Committee joins with other local transgender community organizations in presenting Unity Month. The first event is the March 8th Cats Food and Clothing Distribution. March 12th, Helping Transgenders Anonymous holds a social from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Houston Area Community Services HACS Center at 2520 Morgan. On the 17th, Tao Chi, the Houston chapter of Tri-S, Society for the Second Self, hosts the 7:30 social program on safety presented by Lily Roddy, followed by a social at the La Quinta Wilcrest. March 24th, Houston Transgender Life Connection and Thursday night social group STAG, Some Transgenders Are Guys, and the Texas Association for Transsexual Support holds an open house from 1 to 4 at the HACS Center. On the 31st, the Diamond Tea Girls meets for dinner at 8:30 at Baba Yaga.
Ooh.
The Transgender Houston Cover Girls host Girls Night Out beginning at 10 at the nightclub Blur. For more information on each of these groups, you can go to the Unity Committee website at www.htuc.org. All of this is gearing up for the 15th annual Unity Banquet, which they've opened ticket sales. The banquet will be held at the West Chase Hilton, 9999 Westheimer, on Saturday, April 14th, from 6:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. Can we say ticket prices?
Yes, we can.
Ticket prices are $50 in advance, $60 at the door. You can get them through TicketWeb at the Unity website, htuc.org, or at Jules Boutique, 2404 Taft near Fairview. Some proceeds from the banquet sales go to support the Peggy Rudd Transgender Scholarship Fund. For the second year, the Unity Committee will present a scholarship at the banquet to a transgender identified student pursuing higher education. The 2007 Unity Banquet, which is the largest single-night transgender event in the nation, is dedicated to the memory of transgender advocate and HIV/AIDS activist and educator Brenda Thomas. Thomas was the Unity Committee Chairman, Executive Director, among her many achievements and honors. She received the Lifetime Achievement Award at the 2002 Unity Banquet and the Trinity Award, which honors transgendered heroes, from the International Foundation for Gender Education in 2004. The keynote speaker will be Ray Hill. Enough said. The Unity Banquet sponsors are, as of so far, Charles Armstrong Investments, Netrin Simino and Fry, Resurrection MCC, Dr. Pierre Brasseur Clinique de Chagres Esthétique de Saint-Joseph.
Very good.
The Superin Clinic Thailand, Denise O'Daughtry, The Princess Company, Legacy Community Health Services, Tim Brookover and Albert Mata, La Crossings at Austin, Alley Theater, the Houston Symphony,
wow,
Bruce Kyler, and the John Stephen Kellett Foundation. This is all put on by the Houston Transgender Unity Committee, which is a nonprofit consortium of area trans organizations. In addition to the Unity Banquet, Unity Committee projects include the annual Transgender Day of Remembrance in November and Unity Month in March. Committee representatives frequently speak to schools, businesses, and organizations. Once again, for more information, go to www.htuc.org.
Cool.
Those are the ones I had on there.
We have a very strong transgender community here in Houston. And it's only because they really worked hard to get it that way. You're talking about the Unity Banquet. It's the 15th annual. Prior to that, these organizations really didn't accept each other.
Yeah.
And that's what the Unity Banquet helped to change.
Well, you know, we do have a lot of cliques,
yeah,
in our community.
We do. In fact, some night when we have more time, I have a little something to read about that, on how there's a stronger community in smaller towns because
They all have to band together.
So that one thing Rose sent out?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you get into the larger cities, then you start having this separation.
And territorialism.
Yes. Yes.
The mother of a 17-year-old girl was concerned that her daughter was having sex. Worried the girl might become pregnant and adversely impact the family status, she consulted the family doctor. The doctor told her that teenagers today were very willful and any attempt to stop the girl would probably result in rebellion. He told her to arrange for her daughter to be put on birth control and until then, talk to her and give her a box of condoms. Later that evening, as the daughter was preparing for a date, the woman told her about the situation and handed her a box of condoms. The girl burst out laughing and reached over to hug her mother, saying, "Oh, Mom, you don't have to worry about that. I'm dating Susan."
I love it.
Brenda and Steve took their 6-year-old son to the doctor. With some hesitation, they explained that although their little angel appeared to be in good health, they were concerned about his rather small penis. Why they're worried about a 6-year-old small penis? I don't know. After examining the child, the doctor confidently declared, "Just feed him pancakes. That should solve the problem."
Pancakes?
Yeah. The next morning, when the boy arrived at breakfast, there was a large stack of warm pancakes in the middle of the table. "Gee, Mom," he exclaimed, "for me?" "Just take 2, Brenda replied. "The rest are for your father."
Oops.
Those are some cute ones my sister-in-law
sent me. That's very good. I didn't see that one coming.
And for us who were raised in the Catholic faith.
Yes. Here we go.
Each Friday after work, Bubba would fire up his outdoor grill and cook a little venison steak.
Mm-hmm.
But all of Bubba's neighbors were Catholic. And since it was Lent, they were forbidden from eating meat on Friday.
Oh.
The delicious aroma from the grilled venison steaks was causing such a problem for the Catholic faithful, they finally talked to their priest. The priest came to visit Bubba and suggested that he become a Catholic. After several classes and much study, Bubba attended Mass, and as the priest sprinkled holy water over him, he said, "You were born a Baptist and raised a Baptist, but now you're a Catholic." Bubba's neighbors were greatly relieved until Friday night arrived, and the wonderful aroma of grilled venison filled the neighborhood. The priest was called immediately by the neighbors, and he rushed into Bubba's yard, clutching a rosary and prepared to scold him when he stopped and watched in amazement. There stood Bubba, clutching a small bottle of holy water, which he carefully sprinkled over his grilling meat and chanted, "You was born a deer, you was raised a deer, but now you're a catfish."
Good old Bubba.
You've been listening to After Hours.
Queer Radio with Attitude.
I got to stretch a little bit here while I
Oh, stretch it, honey.
I got to... they were stretching earlier, but I couldn't see it. let's see. Hot 17, Water Day.
I want to thank Lisa from Hot and Bothered for the lovely gift what's it called?
Diva Dice.
Diva Dice.
It's a silver cube.
And you roll it, I guess, to determine what kind of music you're going to listen to. Let's see. Okay. Bette Midler. Or there's Marilyn. Or there's Barbara. Or Liza. Or Judy. Or Cher.
I can see you using this at the next jukebox show.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think this is a good idea. A very good idea.
But like I said, we've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us email at afterhours@kpft.org. Or you can send us snail mail at After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Lovett.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life. I used to say lifestyle, but, you know, I don't like that word too much because, you know, yeah, we have a life.
And for those of you who don't understand the term ought, it's 00. I use the term with a customer. She's like, ought? What do you, double zero.
Where the hell's she from?
Tomball. Remember, I work up there. All righty. This is the end of the show. Next week, it's the short show.
Yes, because there is a time change next week, so we'll only be 2 hours.
Usually, it was always the first Saturday of the month.
I don't know.
Because I always remember that, because that's when I had my segment. I always got screwed out of it.
Oh.
And then we always gain it at Halloween.
Yes.
But, and now it's time.
Now it's time.
For your PSA.
Oh, but.
But.
Stay tuned for.
The Mr. Schmidtville Domination Happy Hour.
Yeah, they're gearing up.
March 22nd is World Water Day, a day when international attention is focused on the scarcity of clean, safe drinking water worldwide. On Thursday, March 22nd, the River Oaks Theater on West Gray will be hosting Films for Water from 7 to 9 p.m. Then on Saturday, March 24th at 10 a.m., we will walk for water at the Waterfront Park downtown at Bagby and Sabine. All World Water Day events are free to attend, but you may register online to secure a ticket. You can also create a Water Advocates webpage of your own to invite friends and family to celebrate World Water Day in Houston. Visit worldwaterday.net for more information. You're listening to KPFT Houston. The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters regardless of the hour. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.